Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen! This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen! Yakuza Radio. Love the name, Yakuza. You know what I'm saying? My homie J-Cat and the homie Eric.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look what that got you, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holla.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
Wednesday, May 18th, 2011. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, and as always, my co-host, Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
J-Cat, what's going on tonight?
Well, quite a bit, man. We got quite a show for you guys tonight. This will be a very, very loaded, very entertaining show. I can promise you guys that. This past weekend, I did attend the shows that I promised everybody I would be attending, and that was Friday night. I did attend the New Japan Wrestling show over in Rahway, New Jersey, and I did attend on Saturday the CZW show in South Philly, as I do monthly. And I'm going to keep it short with the New Japan stuff. I can say it was an honor to see the guys that I saw in person. I cannot even start this discussion without saying that for those who don't know, the first match was... Well, let me just start by saying I missed the first match of the night. Now, in the past, man, I have missed so many dark matches, so many opening contests, so many curtain jerker matches. I couldn't even tell you, man. Like, I am late, dude. With the three kids and the job, I work 6 days a week and having to leave early and living like... You know, CZW, I'm like at least an hour and a half from, and I go every month. And Broadway, it's probably an hour. But either way, it seems I just don't get out of my own town on time, and I end up late just about every month. So I miss the first match. I walk in, no surprise to me. I'm not blown away by my timing. And I walk in, and the guy at the door selling the ticket says, "Hey, man, it's only the second match in." And as I nod to him, like, yeah, okay, I hear that all the time, I look up and I see Kojima and Kenny Omega in the ring. And I think to myself, wow, Kojima, second match in. That's shocking to me, because that was one of the main matches I was looking forward to. Okay, so I go through watching the show. It was a good show, entertaining. A lot of new guys, you know, not new, but new to me, that, you know, I got a chance to see and very much enjoyed. We get to what they call the last match of the evening.
The main match of the evening.
And Rhino's music hits. So I go, what the fuck is... you know, I start, like, making all these excuses in my head, and I'm like, well, you know what? Sometimes they say, well, this is the last match, but it's not the main event, you know? So I'm like, well, maybe it's that. You know, and my girl turns, asks the guy behind us, what was the first match tonight? And he just goes, the low-key match. And I almost fucking just did a swan dive off of the fucking bleachers I was sitting on and tried my best to do the first bleacher suicide and shit. Because apparently that first match I missed was Jushin Thunder Liger and Tiger Mask versus Low-Key and Homicide. I have never missed a fucking match that had more meaning to me than that. And God damn it. Fuck, you know. And then the next day, you know, Nina's posting this stuff on Facebook and saying, you know, we're so mad we missed that match. Homicide chimes in right away. Oh, damn. And, of course, we're like, yo, we didn't know it was a... And he's like, yeah, that was a big surprise for the fans. Well, hey, stop fucking surprising fans. Whoever booked that shit, stop surprising the fucking fans. What about fans who aren't good with time? What about some late fans? You know what I mean? What about completely regular, loyal, indie fans that don't know how to get places on time? What about them? You surprise them by beating them in the face. You know what I mean? That is not nice. That shit is not cool at all. So, I'd appreciate if you guys don't ever do anything like that again. Like, that fucking probably the only time it'll ever happen in the U.S., and even if it's not in the U.S., somewhere where I can actually see it and enjoy it would be fucking Rahway, New Jersey, or some, you know, some shit like that. Please don't do that shit. That is not nice. So, yeah. But otherwise, great, great thing. I like to say for sure that I have now witnessed the Japanese Shawn Michaels in Tanahashi. I believe that this dude is better than Shawn Michaels. He's just unbelievable in the ring. He has the charisma. He has the look. That was just the first thing I thought when I saw him. You know, and being the IGPW world champion, I think he's off to quite a good start to, you know, solidify that reputation for himself. And I was surprised I didn't actually catch heat on Facebook when I posted that, but I actually got several people saying, absolutely, and he's not a dick, and, oh, he's much better than him. And I'm like, oh wow. I was really surprised at some of those responses. And, hey, great, man, because I hate to just be just delusional for no reason. If I'm at least justified in my brave assumptions, then I'm a fan of that. So that was that. Great time out. That was the one New Japan show I saw this weekend. They ran two other shows that we'll either get to later on the show or we'll get into next week because we do have quite some stuff lined up. What I would like to do is go over the CZW show that, honestly, you know, after a big show or before a big show, as of late, as of the past year or so, they have completely shit on the fans' fucking tickets. They have collected the tickets in the ring and took a watery shit on it every time following a big show. So I said, you know, as a loyal fan, I got to attend this. I just got to, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt, hopefully. And like I said last week, I'll be as negative and as critical as I want, and then I hope to God they prove me wrong, and boy, did they. CZW tore the fucking house down on Saturday in Philadelphia. And people who were skeptical enough to stay away from it, shame on you, because I'm telling you, these guys did their fucking thing. And, well, the night started off with me not missing the first match, because I'll be damned if I do that two fucking days in a row. Even though if they ran on time, I probably would have missed the first match, so no credit to me. But, the night started off with Alex Colon beating Rich Swann. But
that's your boy.
Rich Swann, yes, he is.
No, Alex Colon. your boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That
so,
should be, they should have the J-Cap Morris Alliance in CZW, and he'd be one of them.
I'm sorry, he's already joined the team, and we'll get into that in just a second. But what the way that they start this match, dude, Rich Swann is the most entertaining fucking guy in professional wrestling, in my opinion. I don't, you know, he might not be my favorite wrestler in the world, but as far as just unbelievably entertaining on so many fronts. I mean, he is one of the youngest, most talented high flyers in the business. His personality is fucking through the roof. I mean, you just, you cannot recreate this type of thing that he does. And it's just on the fly. It's just his personality. He's just a top-notch dude. I mean, there's just, the sky is the limit for this guy, because as soon as a company realizes his potential, this guy is sitting on top of the company. He's got the biggest picture on the poster, and this guy will bring people from miles around to see him, because he is just unbelievable physically, charisma-wise, everything. It's all there. This dude is phenomenal. So anyway, he decides to start this match and do it. Walk to the ring with a bucket of chicken. Before the match starts, he pretty much does the Vader thing, and instead replaces Vader with chicken. So he goes, "It's time! It's time! It's chicken time!" So this guy wrestled probably the first at least 5 minutes of the match with a drumstick in his hand. This guy was doing roll-throughs, arm drags, backflips where he threw the piece of chicken in his mouth and did the backflip and then threw it back in his hand until eventually Alex Colon smacked the chicken out of his mouth, which made him very angry, and it got him into a serious mode in the match. And He just did his fucking thing, man. It just top-notch fucking performance by this guy. Still not a fan of Alex. I can't do it. I mean, the majority of the stuff that he did was really, really telegraphed. Like, he did one of these. It was supposed to be a kick, but it was supposed to be countered. And he threw that shit so slow at Rich that I just put my head down, and it was all good. I mean, Rich carried this match, you know. And let me also, you know, just try to, like, smooth this somewhat, because I'm not a fan of the guy, but there's a lot of guys I haven't been a fan of over the years, and they've turned the corner, proved their worth, and I've become a huge fan of them. Chris Cash being one of those guys. When he first started up, man, I couldn't stand this guy. Ask anybody around me, ask Nina, whoever, but in the end, yo, his fucking go-get-it attitude and his ability to just go above and beyond and fucking, it trumped everything else that was going on. And he really, really proved himself above and beyond, where he was one of the guys that you showed up as a CZW fan to see what he was going to do next month. So I'm not saying that, you know, Alex Colon can't, you know, turn the corner and make it happen. I'm just kind of critical of, you know, what he's doing right now, because he has gotten a good amount of spotlight for a guy who really isn't completely ready yet, in my opinion. I'm not a wrestler, but in my opinion, as a fan. So he is now getting that chance, and I, you know, hopefully good for him, man, and hopefully he'll shine, because following that match was a reforming of the Blackout. And that was Robbie Marino, Chrissy Rivera, and Ruckus storming the ring, letting everybody know they're back. This is what's going down. And they invited their first two new members in Rich Swann and Alex Colon, and they both accepted, rightfully so. And we now have the Blackout back. One of the most loved and missed stables. There's really two of them in CZW, one being the Blackout, the other being Cult Fiction, and those are the two stables that are, they were completely, you know, staples the stables were staples in the company as long as they were there. And
they were,
it's great
they were they are both they both personify what CZW is all about. The fucking
Absolutely.
Good old fashioned wrestling.
And yeah, I mean, and the personalities and the gimmicks around it and everything that clicked well together and made it make sense. So I'm really, really happy that the Blackout is back, and that was the start of the show. So needless to say, what a good start.
Hell yes.
Then you had Ty Hagen beating Ryan Eagles, you know, to bring Ty out of his slump. Wasn't a bad match. Didn't hurt anything. Nothing that, you know, really stood out to me that made me think that, you know, this was the best thing ever. But, again, there was nothing wrong with it. It didn't hurt the flow of the show. And following that, you had another Jonathan Gresham Akuma match. Well, this would be the first match that you actually saw Jonathan Gresham getting the win over Akuma.
Yeah, you're about to say Yakuza Akuma.
Yeah, Akuma. Yeah, I'll just make up my own words as I go. And then, you know, Kimberly smacking the shit out of Akuma after the match. And it keeps getting pushed and pushed. And I don't know, man. You know, it was a great match. Those two gel really well. Gresham is unbelievably talented, and Akuma is as well. Akuma's had a lot longer in the ring, and a lot more people already know about that guy. So it's really not even needed to be said. But, however, yeah, good match, man. And following that, you had another great match in Ryan McBride over Jake Crist of the Irish Airborne. That was another fucking spot fest, back and forth, hard hitting. I mean, great fucking match, man. I mean, two guys that were probably, you know, pegged as mid card, and you know, Ryan McBride's been kind of on the low end for a little while now. Nobody's really been; he hasn't been stand out as he had in the past. But Jay Chris did quite an impressive showing last month at Best of the Best, and he came back this month with another really strong showing, and Ryan McBride did a great, great job. And the two of them tore the fuck up. I mean, I can't say it enough. This show was great. It really was. It was something that I really did. I don't know. I didn't expect it. I hoped for it, and I got it. You know, that's just something that you can't always get. Can't always get what you want.
You can't
next.
Always get what you want.
All right. And yeah. Then the next match, we had an unbelievable contest. Just completely, possibly show-stealing contest. I'd say probably, I don't know, man. I mean, great, great match. I would definitely say without question my favorite dog collar match I've ever seen, because I've never been a huge fan of the dog collar match. I've always seen the dog collar match as something where the chain in between the dog collars would restrict the guy's work. It would restrict their movement, and, you know, understandably so. I mean, you know, try to do all the mechanics of a match with the chain in between them. It's got to be kind of hard without hanging your opponent, you know, and these guys did some unbelievable shit in that ring without tripping over that chain once. I mean, all sorts of fucking spots. You guys really need to get this DVD. Drake was, I mean, he was just bleeding chunks off of his forehead. It was brutally bloody, as well as, I mean, just the scientific, you know, ability that these guys had to work that match and make sure that they knew where that chain was at all times and do, you know, all these different moves and all these different things. You know, Drake ended up winning with the Drake's landing on a steel chair. And it's a match that really has to be seen. There was just too many spots to really even outline it with saying one or two. But that was a really, really impressive match to watch. So everybody check that out. This was followed up by DJ Hyde coming in, which always expected. Larry Legend first introduced that Dysfunction, Masada, and the Necro Butcher will be entrants in this year's Tournament of Death on June 25th in Delaware. Following that, Little Mondo comes out to the ring, says that he wants to be in Tournament of Death. The one thing that he isn't doing like Nick Mondo is wrestling like Nick Mondo. So he has asked to be in Tournament of Death. So, of course, DJ Hyde comes out, draws things out for longer than it ever should be, just like every time he grabs the mic. Then Greg comes out, making things even more awkward because you don't know what to do with yourself. And then eventually, of course, he gets his way and he gets his tournament. He gets his opportunity at a Tournament of Death spot if he beats DJ next month, which I believe is June 11th in the arena in South Philly.
Yep.
So if he beats DJ at the arena, then he'll be in Tournament of Death. So back to the entertainment portion of the show. Sami Callihan beat Masada in yet another hugely impressive outing by Sami Callihan. And Masada did everything you would expect out of Masada. Brutal, brutal, stiff, unbelievably stiff match. I mean, these guys beat the fucking shit out of each other, and this is what I expected, and I got exactly what I expected out of that, because, you know, it was just brutal. And, you really got to see it to believe it. These guys hit really, really hard, and they didn't hold anything back. Sammy, as he's taken out Sakimoto and many other very credible contenders, won with the stretch muffler. And he also, did that little title symbol around his waist, signifying that he should be getting that title. So, our guest tonight, he's got some really, really stiff competition ahead of you. So then came the awkward moment of Danny Havoc facing Ryan Slater, which was just didn't make any sense. And then, of course, Joe Gacy ran out to help it make less sense. And then 13 came out to, I guess you'd call it, even the odds, even though he tried to join the Runaways a month or two ago, and then that didn't happen, and now he's fighting the Runaways, and no one cares. So, unfortunately, that was just a weird, weird decision. No one wants to see the Runaways in main event picture. No one wants to see the Runaways getting any title shots. They might have some family that does, but honestly, that's really uncalled for. It just really is. And, it's honesty, because when it comes down to it, Danny Havoc, as I mentioned last month, had just beat fucking Jun Kasai, had just beat the deathmatch fucking legend of Jun Kasai. That's just a little fucking much of a jump to go from Jun Kasai to Ryan Slater. If you bring up fucking the name Ryan Slater in Japan, and that he's going to challenge for the Big Japan title, you're going to have to explain who the fuck Ryan Slater is before you finish your conversation. Where I don't think there's anywhere in the U.S. that you're going to say Jun Kasai wants part of this title, that someone's going to go, who the fuck is Jun Kasai? So, I don't know. It's just my view on it. I just think it's really two different spectrums, and I don't believe he belongs in that light at all. But just my opinion. Next up, we had tonight's guest, heavyweight champion Devin Moore retaining once again over the Ego Robert Anthony. Now this is the third time that Devin has beaten Ego within a month's time. So hard goings for Ego. But
who knows with June 11th coming up and, even June 25th, Tournament of Death. It'll be real interesting to see if maybe Devin is in Tournament of Death this year.
I don't know. I don't think there's ever been a world champion in the Tournament of Death. I know they've had 9 title matches. They've had some brutal matches. I don't know if the world champion has actually ever taken place in the Tournament of Death at the time.
That'd be awesome.
Next up, you had CZW World Tag Team Champions, the Briscoe Brothers. They put out an open challenge. So the open challenge was answered by none other than the awkwardly big Nigerian Nightmares. And they came out and they did what they do and tried a few spots that guys their size should never do, and they will be on Botchamania very soon. And other than that, it was what I would expect out of that. Of course, the Briscoes retained. They worked an injury on Jay, which I believe was a work. I mean, I could be wrong. He did put one of these guys on his shoulders, which was what a terrible idea that is. And then tried the Doomsday device thing, and his neck ended up hurting. And of course. And for some reason, then afterwards, Philly's Most Wanted hits the ring, and they said, is this open challenge over? And when they said, yeah, they said, ring the bell. And they went in there and they beat the Briscoe. Well, they beat Mark Briscoe for the World Tag Team titles. And now the Philly's Most Wanted are now tag team champions again. Yeah, like Lane Mark said, Nigerian Nightmare. Christian Okoye was there. And I wish he was. They are about a double XL Kamala. Yeah, definitely. Two of them. One is a triple XL. So that was the World Tag Team titles changing hands once again. Back to the Philly's Most Wanted, and we'll see what happens next month with that. In the main event, you had Adam Cole holding on to his title after
the CZW World Junior Heavyweight Championship.
Right. Beating AR Fox with the help of the newly heel turned DJ Hyde. And, as we had said months and months and months and months and months ago, the only thing that DJ can do is either stop showing up on camera or be a heel. Because in all reality, no one really likes him. The fact that he owns a company that people love will get you some support. There's no maybes about it. But as far as your on-air personality, as it may be, or your presence in the ring, it's really unnecessary. So it's going to be dangerous grounds, because if people do not like what you're putting out there as an owner, Zandig had been a heel too, but the difference with Zandig is he was actually over as a face before he went heel. So that's kind of going to be the awkward thing, because as the owner, to come out and say, I don't give a shit about you fans and da-da-da-da-da, all the normal heel stuff, I don't know how well that's going to go for a guy that most fans legit don't like. Even though they may support the company, it's pretty legit heat as far as I can see. And, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe everybody loves DJ Hyde, but I'm pretty sure I'm pretty accurate on this. That was the show. DJ leveled AR Fox with the clothesline, da-da-da-da. And, that's more or less to be expected. Hearing about there's an echo in the background in the chat room. I don't know if you have any handle on that, Eric. But I kind of hear it myself. So,
go ahead and talk.
I'm talking as always. I don't hear it. I don't hear an echo now. Is it better? Is it better, chat room? Okay. So, it seems better to me, and we'll just wait for, you know, confirmation out of the chat room. But, yeah, and then Sammy came out after much ado. Yeah, Sammy came out to save the day because he's the biggest face in the company. So, of course, you know, cameo appearance, Sammy comes out, you know, after 10 minutes of, okay, cool, the echo is gone. So, yeah, I mean, that's just, yeah, Sammy caused the echo, Mark. yep. So, yeah, that was the show. Like I said, you know, I could throw my negativity on the Runaways or I could throw my negativity on DJ, but bottom line is the show must be seen. There were enough great, great fucking things to, you know, check out in that show that none of the negatives should make you not want to see that show. That negative, or these positives, I should say, my bad, should definitely make everybody go out there, purchase that DVD, smartmarkvideo.com, or I think they carry it still, but they didn't tape it. That's the deal there. And I think High Spots carries them now. Just check out czwrestling.com and follow the links from there once the video is out. After that, I would definitely go and check out, which is to preface, you know, what we are going to be getting in tonight is the Smart Mark video Best on the Indies series, which features videos such as the Best of Devin Moore. And we will hopefully be getting a call from Devin any minute. And we will be talking to, yeah, Mark. Buy it from Smart Mark. They're the good guys. That's what he says. So, by all means, do that. Yeah, great, great show. Not only should you guys go out there and find that DVD, you should also be checking out CZW next month, June 11th, in the arena. And if you only catch one show this summer, it should be Tournament of Death, June 25th in Delaware. Townsend, Delaware, to be specific. And you will not be sorry. We are waiting on Devin Moore right now. That is what we are waiting on. He had called earlier, sent a text or something saying he is running a little late, but we are definitely waiting on Devin Moore's call, as we have many, many things to talk about with Devin after his very, very controversial interview that he did with Smart Mark Video just recently. So we will see when we get him on the line. Eric will tell me as soon as we get him, and then we will be introing him, and we'll be right in there with that. Outside of that, this weekend, huge, like I said, triple shot from New Japan. They had Prince Devitt retaining his title over Low Ki on Saturday. Hugely anticipated match for all those who did not attend CZW. I'm hoping they were over there in Brooklyn watching that match, because then I could maybe forgive them a little bit. And, you know, the big contest as well being that night they had Charlie Haas versus Tanahashi. And on Sunday you had none other than Davey Richards against Tanahashi. So two successful title defenses out of Tanahashi this weekend, and the title goes back. MVP he was on this weekend's tour as well. And I had told other people that I really, really didn't know who to, you know, how to feel about MVP, because I was kind of indifferent to him on TV. He really didn't do a lot for me, and I really also didn't have any reason to dislike him. But I said, you know, I'll hold off. I'll wait to see what he does on the indies. And he worked a match on Friday. I just can't remember who he wrestled on Friday. But he worked a hell of a match. Hell of a fucking match. Quick fucking reversals. Quick. This was the first round of the IWGP Intercontinental title tournament, which is the first crowning of an Intercontinental champion within New Japan. And the first round, you know, he wrestled, like I said, I'm not really sure of the guy. I could go back check the results, but I'm not going to do that right now. He was really, really good. He worked really stiff, hard-hitting, quick reversals, chain wrestling. I mean, the guy was fucking good. He went on the next 2 days to climb that tournament and win the first ever IWGP World, World Intercontinental Champion. He is the first ever champion. It was won in the U.S., so as soon as they go home, it's a world title. It's a pretty impressive outing out of him. And, yeah, I give a big shout-out to that guy because, again, I really didn't know which side of the fence to lay with him. And pretty impressive. This weekend, we have coming up the show that I had mentioned. I was, you know, talking earlier in the month about the big Evolve show, and they were running, it's like a Styles tournament. Rich Swann has been added for the Rich Swann style, and someone else has been added as well. But this is going to be a pretty big tournament, 8 guys, different styles, and that will be going on this weekend. And for everybody to check that out, check out EvolveWrestling.com. And also, the TPI, not run by the guy that you guys used to know as, but I believe this is a... Do you know what company is running that, Eric? Eric?
Yeah.
Do you know what company is running the TPI this weekend?
Yeah, I do. Absolute Intense Wrestling, AIW.
Yes, AIW is running that. I don't know, do you have the lineup on that at all? Or
I could get it in 1 second. Just give me a second.
Okay, yeah, work on that if you can. So, yeah, it's a pretty impressive lineup. Not really sure what their motivation to, you know, stem off the already, you know, the Ted Petty Invitational, you know, and make their own TPI. Other than
its
popularity.
It's the Todd Pettengale Invitational.
Right.
Let me just get the paper. I don't want to. Wrong TPI.
Yeah. There's a lot of huge talent in there, and someone's saying something's Nicole. Now Nicole comes up as Nicole, but not sure if Nicole has internet tonight. I was hoping that she would, and Toby would be able to listen in live as well as Nicole, who tunes in pretty much every week. And,
all right, here's some of the matches that they have for night one, which is this weekend.
All right.
First round matchup, Paul London versus Shima Exion.
Nice. Very, very
first
good.
First round matchup, Madman Pondo versus Tim Donst.
Oh, that's interesting.
Give me 1 second. I gotta check something real quick. All right, so, wow, they're actually doing B.J. Whitmer versus Jimmy Jacobs in the first round.
Yeah, B.J. had actually just recently come back to the business, and because he had been away for a while, and he had that huge feud with Jimmy Jacobs years ago with that crazy, crazy match that, you know, I don't know if any of you guys remember out of ROH, and just phenomenal match. So what a great entrance back into the business. So go ahead.
We have Colt Cabana versus Marion Fontaine.
Okay.
Flip Kendrick versus Lewis Lydon.
Yep.
Bobby Beverly versus Sanjay Dutt.
Sanjay.
Facade versus Sugar Dunkerton.
Okay.
Mr. Ree Isaiah Bonds versus Sterling James Keenan.
Okay.
And what looks like to be a great matchup in the first round, Jonathan Gresham one-on-one with Jake Crist.
Okay. Is that the whole field?
No, there's more.
Oh, okay.
Dave Crist versus Ricky Page. Gregory Irons versus John Kerman.
Okay.
The Duke versus Arrow. And that's it.
Huh. Somebody said that Rich Swann was in it too, but
no.
That's okay. I mean, tons of talent. So yeah, everybody check that out. Where is that located, Eric?
Out in Ohio, I believe. Where is this at? Lakewood, Ohio.
Okay, yeah, definitely check them out for sure. I don't know if you want to, you know.
Hold on one second.
Ah, formerly Christian Faith. That's all right. Well, I'm holding on for dear life. And entertainment
all right.
Value.
All right, we're ready. You ready to go?
We have our guest on the line?
I have our guest on the line.
I'd like to welcome to the show CZW World Heavyweight Champion, Devin Moore.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Dev?
Oh, not man. Crazy night. How are you guys doing?
Cool, man. Figured we'd bring you back on because there's a few things that's transpired since the last time we had you on. One being you winning the World Heavyweight Championship. And the other being this hugely controversial shoot that you had just put out.
Yeah, that's why I'm calling in late, dude. I'm getting phone calls still, like, I don't know, like, people. I wish people would, like, watch it instead of calling me. I'm getting phone calls, like, well, Billy Graham, he should have called me. That's Barry Billy Graham. I'll bet that one. But, like, I'm getting phone calls saying that Barry John Zandig and stuff, and I'm like, did John watch this, or anyone that's representing John, like, actually watch this? Because I didn't bury John Zandig. What am I, retarded? Like, John would kill me. I know that. Like, like
but, yeah,
know,
man.
Like, it's crazy.
More or less, the way I see it, it was a great shoot, but you threw a lot of fire, man. And with fire comes heat, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely. I don't care. It's funny that, like, the people you would expect to get phone calls from aren't calling you. And people you, like, put over, like, giving you phone calls, like, oh, I heard you buried me in the shooter over here. I'm like, what? I'm like, you were not somebody I expected to call me. So, you know, I know playing with fire is playing with fire, but,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Buy it. SmartMarkVideo, you know, .com. Order it. It's definitely
worth
listening to.
Definitely. It's got a great set of matches on it. And but, yeah, before we get into some of the content of that DVD, what was it like winning this world title?
Man, it was fulfilling. It seemed like a never-ending quest there at CZW since I got there. That was my goal. And, I mean, it took me, what, 3+ years? And, I mean, it paid off, like, a lot of hard work. I mean, I never got shrugged off of that goal. You know what I mean? I was determined, and determination paid off finally. I mean, it was a good night. Best of the best was awesome. I mean, the whole show as a whole, like, you know, I mean, the tournament was great. I mean, I beat Rob with, you know, the Briscoes with me. I mean, it was awesome. I had everything together. Like, the whole day was just great. It was a good day all around.
Yeah, I mean, congrats on that. I mean, that's a huge, huge thing. I mean, I know you had said a while back that you were, you know, trying to model a lot of what you were doing after Trent. That's something that Trent wasn't able to, you know.
Yeah, and that was the first thing I did after I won it, too, was go over to the banner. So, I mean, like, that was the other thing. Like, it was cool to get to accomplish something Trent didn't do, and I know he was smiling, you know, that night, best of the best, but. You know, now the problem is I got so many targets, people coming after me now, I got to worry about keeping it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm getting a message now that JC's dad is on the line. I'm going to, you know, bring him into the conversation and see what he's got to say, and we'll get back to everything else we're talking about. So welcome to the line, Joe Bailey. Joe?
Hey there, Joe.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening, man. That's all I want to do. I don't want to talk.
Okay. Well, he's on the line as well. I'm sure you know Joe, Dev, and
definitely. How you doing, Joe?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I'm just listening, man. I'm just calling and listening.
Okay. Not a problem. But yeah, I mean, you had told some stories on that shoot. You know, you and Trent in Mexico. It sounded like crazy, crazy times.
Oh yeah, it was a mess. there was some insanity there. I mean, it was definitely a good experience, but like especially now with the way Mexico is, I wouldn't go back now.
Nah, it's crazy dangerous. Yeah, I was out there just fishing for trees and pretty dangerous.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been happening now. I wouldn't even been leaving the hotel if I was down there right now. It's crazy. They're killing Americans left and right just for, you know, the hell of it.
Yeah, crazy stuff, man. So yeah, man. I mean, there was just a lot of things like going around. I didn't know like that. You know, one of your first, you had worked for Jack Sabbath like early in your career. Carrying rings and everything else. And
yeah, I mean, that the same thing with the Samoans. I mean, I know they were mentioned a little bit in the interview, but I think it got cut out. Like, a lot of that time there, too, I was doing a lot of stuff for Alpha. So it was a lot of tearing down, moving. Like, at the time, I was running five times a month. So it was cool, but, you know, yeah, and there was a lot of dues being paid. A lot of, you know, we'd do weekend shots, and it'd be 2 hours away from each other. We'd be tearing down the ring, getting out there at 3 in the morning, going to the next town next morning, putting up a ring, doing a show, taking it down, going home. So, you know, it was a lot of dues back then, and that was something I said in the interview now. A lot of the guys now, they don't pay no dues. They, like, go train somewhere, start doing shows, end up making a name for themselves, and, like, what dues have you paid? None. Like, what's this business about? You pay your dues.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's been so much stuff over him being, like, through the years and stuff. And, I mean, half of what I've heard has definitely come out of the Mass Maniac camp. But he's been known as Sabbath the Stiffer and shit. And how much of that did you see all around there?
Dude, honestly, Jack, and I can say this, honestly, Jack has never screwed me. Ever.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why every time he shuts down and comes back, I end up working for him because I've never had a problem. Never. I walk in the door and I'm usually handing my money before I even get changed and get ready to wrestle. So, I know other people have had problems, but, you know, I mean, I can't really talk about their problems because they weren't mine. I mean, Jack was always good to me. That's why I've always gone back whenever he decides to run. I know it's short term usually, but I know it's guaranteed money for myself, so I don't, you know what I mean? I go without problem.
Yeah, true. On the other end of that whole feud, you had mentioned, you know, a few things, just quick mention about Frank Goodman. What was your experience with that guy?
Oh, God. Frank Goodman is a character, man.
He's definitely a fucking character.
he definitely lives in his own world, dude. It's highly entertaining, but he's definitely in his own world.
Yeah, I listened to some of his shit, and it's out there, man. He just ran a show, and thought it was the greatest idea in the world to have Balls versus Rhino. Send a ref out of the building for the first 20 minutes, and just he promoted that shit for like 3 months. Fucking show comes, you don't even get that. You got like, I think it was New Jack and Balls for like 45 minutes. And just, I don't know, man. I don't know.
He's good at that, man. Frank Goodman will advertise a million names, and then half of them don't show up, and he'll use like two of them.
Yeah, it's just crazy, because that's what he says about Jack all year round.
See, like, and I don't agree with that, because at least Jack, when he advertises someone, they usually come.
Yeah.
A rarity, somebody might get canceled, but, like, if Jack, like, I mean, Scorp was there. He advertised Scorpio. Scorpio was there. He advertised, like, Christopher Daniels. Christopher Daniels was always there. You know what I mean? So, like, 9 times out of 10 with Goodman, you don't know what the card's going to be because that dude don't show up.
Yeah. Shit. For a really disgusting example, fucking Goodman just fucking false advertised Kamala. What kind of shit is that's fucking wild.
Which is hilarious because Kamala just did a show up here like not too long ago. Like I saw him at something, probably NWS show or something. Like he was there. Like, so that's,
yeah,
like, that's
yeah,
probably,
no.
You know what I mean? I don't know what happens with some of these guys with Goodman. I don't know what's up with that, but a lot of them don't show up.
Another big thing that happened lately that I know you had a strong opinion on. And honestly, I mean, we had a lot of people on our show that were, you know, completely on one side of the fence, and that is Ian Rotten. And we had a lot of people. I mean, I'm just a fan. I only, you know, see things from whatever I'm told, whatever I can see from where I'm sitting. So, but everybody we had heard from had negative things to say about Ian. And you're the one guy that has pretty much sat on the other side and said, no, some of that shit ain't right, or some of this is right. And figure, you know, we'll get your opinion on that, too.
I mean, my opinion is, like, trust me, Ian fucks the fuck a lot of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking about this the other day with, like, a bunch of people, and I was talking about this with Joe the other day. Like, the whole reason Ian owes me money from King of the Death matches, the whole reason I'm not mad at him about King of the Death matches is because I got to see JC win. It was one of his dreams in his career that he wanted to do. So, and, like, when he passed, like, I was bitter till JC passed, and then I was like, you know what? Like, I got to be the guy to see JC fulfill his dream, or one of them, one of his goals in his career. And I didn't get hurt. And, like, and I understood it. It's not like, and I said this in the interview about, like, Quackenbush. Like, Quackenbush is, like, a scumbag promoter, in my opinion. Because you draw people, and they're not going to pay the guys, the backbone, who work their butts off to draw your people. That's a problem. In Ian's case, and I understand, and Ian's wrong, too, because Ian shouldn't run shows knowing if he ain't going to draw, he shouldn't book certain people. Like, for instance, me or something. If, say, he's flying me in from Philadelphia, and he's got to pay me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He draws 60 people in Bellevue or wherever building he's running in. You know what I mean? You know the money's not there. But at the same time, it's our own faults because we all know how Ian is, and 90% of us keep going back. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, it's a double-edged sword there. Like, yes, Ian's wrong, but then at the same time, we should look at ourselves because we're the retards that agree to go out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just don't see, like, trust me, Ian is no fucking angel. Like, I'm not saying, oh, look at Ian. Ian's great. Like, let the light shine down from the Lord on Ian. But please don't, like, that's not the case at all. You know what I mean?
No, I know
Joe's listening. I know Ian's done shit, like, that's offended Joe and all, and I totally agree with Joe on. I definitely do. I understand fully. You know what I mean? And
sure.
But, like, at the same fact, like, you know what I mean? He's still a fucking human being. Like for Mickey and them to call that radio thing, like, that was a straight setup from the door.
Well,
like, you could tell it was, like, listening to it. I sat here with John Moxley, me and Moxley listened to it. And we're just like, he's set up from the door. Like, the radio host was burying him before Mickey and them even called. You know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
yeah, I hear you.
And I agreed. And the only part of that whole thing that I agreed with was Joe Bailey calling in. Because Joe had every right to express his opinions and how he felt. and a lot of it Joe was right about. Joe was 100% right. Billy is just looking for attention. And I like Billy Graham as a person.
Well,
but you know this as well as I do, Jay.
Huh?
I said, you know Billy just like I do, dude. Like,
well,
Billy
yeah,
just
I do, but I don't agree
attention.
With you on that, man.
You don't
just,
think so?
Nah, man. I mean, you might,
you,
maybe
you
know
shoot,
better than
you
I
wanna
do,
shoot,
but...
You want to shoot thing? His daughter, you know who his daughter is.
Yeah, man.
Come to the shows. Send
Mary.
Me a Facebook message that I have sitting on my Facebook right now saying me burying her father in the shooter interview was the best thing she's ever seen in her life. About time people seen
wow.
the piece of trash that Billy Graham is. And
I don't
think
Billy's
don't
know,
a piece
man.
Of trash. I like yeah. Billy as a person. But, like, what Billy does is he likes to manipulate and do dumb stuff. He doesn't even know he's doing it. He doesn't mean it. I've sat
well,
Billy down multiple times. Drake sat Billy down multiple times. It's not that he's a nice person. Or, I mean, like, a jerk-off or something. He's a great guy. It's just he gets himself caught up in these dumb messes. And it's like, in the end of the day, the drama's not worth it.
Well,
it's just not
I mean,
worth
hear
it
me out on this. Hear me out on this, Dev. Here's
yeah,
my thing
what?
That I highly disagree with you on, you know, and this ain't no crazy, you know, just trying to get on your shit, but this is just, you know, my view from listening to you and, you know, being friends with Billy and everything else and just seeing it. And this is from your shoot. You called B-Boy out on being a politician, but you also clearly said that you will make sure that Billy doesn't work in CZW again. Does that not make you a bigger politician than B-Boy?
No, no, you know what? You were right there. But the way I said, and I said that just as, I was mad at him over Alabama, which I went into that whole Alabama thing.
Right.
But if DJ, honestly, like, and the God's honest truth, if DJ turned around and was like, Billy's coming back next show, I wouldn't sit there and be like, oh, well, I fucking quit. Like, I was just saying that in bitterness and over his fucking Alabama shit. Like, I told him that on Facebook. I was mad at him over something totally different. I was just, like, going off. Because, like, once I went, I went. And I wasn't. But no, I wouldn't sit there. I wouldn't politic Billy out of the company. Like, that's not, because it's big enough. Like, you see what I do. I sit out smoking my cigarettes in the parking lot or whatnot. I don't
right,
need
right.
to be near him. If I don't like there's people in the locker room I'm sure I probably don't 100% get along with. I mean, from my point of view, I like. But I'm sure there's people
right.
in there that don't like me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have a problem with that. And I probably shouldn't have said it the way I said it. And you're right. But, like, I wouldn't play the politician role on him like that. No. But and you're
yeah.
right on that, like yeah, because that's like the same exact shit, and it's just not worth it. But that's like
yeah.
the shit that he also does in the back too. He's kind of Benny-ish too, where he'll be, you know what I mean? He's told one thing and then he goes out and does another, and then he like looks and he's like, what? And it's like, dude, you were like totally written out for you.
No, and no, I agree with you. I mean, you know,
yeah, like,
on one
I
hand,
I love Billy. He's a good dude. Like, but like. It's not like it's like me saying, oh, well, he ain't come, like, I'll quit. Like, trust me, DJ can care less what I have to say when it comes to shit like that anyway. DJ look at me like, oh, whatever, Deb. And just, like, walk
yeah.
off. He don't care. But, like, Billy's problem is it ain't like, it's just not like a me and Drake thing. Or, like 90% of the locker room doesn't want Billy there. Like, Billy's got a straight
shit. Why do you think that
people.
Is?
Because he's just like, it's just like you said, he means well. He's a good dude, but, like, he just talks way too much about, like, you know what I mean? Like, instead of worrying about his own stuff, like, he's worried about everybody else. And it rubs people the wrong way. And then they're like, and then if he don't like something, he starts crying. And he's like he comes up to everybody else trying to get him to, like, back him up. He's like, you believe this shit, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, dude, like, we get paid to do what the promoter tells us to do. And sometimes we like it, sometimes we don't. I talked about that in the dub for, like, the first year I was there. I didn't like 90% of the stuff I was doing. But I still showed up every day and did what I was told. You know what I mean? Like, it's what
yeah,
we get paid
yeah.
to do. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's just, it gets too old. Like, and trust me, like, Billy came back, I wouldn't care. It's just, I think he's got other people that he's got to worry about. It's not just me or, like, a Drake or, say, like, you know, Joe Schmo, say, like, an Alex Cologne or, like, anybody else. It's just like it's more as a whole, like, and he doesn't get that, like, and I don't, like, I can't do nothing for him. You know what I mean? Like, we've all tried, and like,
yeah,
he just
I mean,
doing the same stuff. You know how he is, dude. Like, and you keep trying
well,
to help him, and like in the Alabama thing rubbed me the wrong way. Like, he's a grown ass man, dude. Like, he's old enough to be like both our fathers. You know what I mean? Like, and the thing on the interview that really rubbed me the wrong way, like, I smoke a pack and a half of cigarettes a day. I'm used to these road trips and only smoking, like, when we jump out for gas, which sometimes is few and far between. So, you know what I mean? Just sitting there jonesing for a cigarette. Like, he was throwing a fit because he can't smoke weed? Like, dude, I can't smoke cigarettes. You're worried about weed? And, like, he was throwing a fit, ready to go home. He was like, oh, hey, we're going to go on this trip then. Like, really, dude? Like, there's 12 people in a van. You want to smoke weed in it? Like, that's what really pissed me off with him. That's why I went on my little tirade about it. But, like, honestly, it's like, I can care less, like, and you're right. But I wouldn't, like, if it came down to it, like, I got other things to worry about than to, like, worry about if Billy's there or not. You know what I mean?
Well,
I got tired.
I mean, the main thing,
and, like,
though. Yeah, main thing, though, Dev, I mean, to talk about, you know, the locker room as a whole, don't worry about you and Drake. You got to know that you and Drake are two of the main names in that company. And if you guys even mention that, and you already did to the national audience, you know,
oh,
and whether
oh,
you
no,
meant it
no,
or not.
I got what you're saying. No, you're right. And no, you're 100% right there. And I can't, well, it's already out there now. It's not like I can take it back. But, like,
right.
I explained it to Billy, like, my point of view, and that was my point of view with it. It was more of me being angry about going to Alabama than anything else. And I just kind of kept on going. And I probably shouldn't have. But, you know what I mean? I can't do nothing now. It's already, you know what I mean? It's there. So, and
nah,
I knew all about
you.
That, too, because Billy hit me up as soon as it came out. Like, all these fans
I'm
hit me
sure.
up, told me blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and trust
sure,
me, I had a voicemail, sat, like, midnight Saturday night, like, 1 in the morning from them. I was just like, wow, Billy's really on top of things.
Yeah. Now, you know, with the B-boy politics thing, what can you explain, like, from your perspective, what the reason why B-boy is not in ZZW anymore?
Honestly, and this is because, like, I was there. Like, this goes back to, like, Indianapolis, like, what was that, 2 years ago? Whenever we did the show in Indianapolis, he was supposed to, like, do Indianapolis and then go back to California or something. Somehow got a flight bought for him to go home, never went to Indiana. And then, like, no-showed a bunch, like, became unreliable. And then Cage Death came last year, and he magically, like, you know, came, like he wasn't, like, DJ didn't bring him in or, like, none of that stuff. Like, he came in on something else, guaranteed he'd be here in February because he had a flight, like a voucher for a flight, and then
right.
never came. But then, like, everybody, like, DJ and the company hurts because he's, like, because he makes it look like it's everybody else's fault. And it was really his fault. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? And, like, a DJ tried to come out and explain it, and everybody tried to, like, bury him for it. But, like, that was the truth. He had a flight voucher. All you have to do is show, like I've done it with Ian. Say, like, because I've missed a flight for Ian before, like, missed a show. You go down the airport, you have a flight in your name ready. Like, going to that, you know what I mean, going to Philly, say, from San Diego or whatever. It's already there.
Yeah.
Like, they owe it to you, it's there. He kept saying he was waiting for a voucher in the mail, which was bullshit. You don't get a voucher in the mail. You go down there, you get 90% of your tickets, you can print right there at the place. You order them online, you get your e-ticket when you get down there.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So, like, he's saying he's waiting for vouchers. It's like, dude, you just go to the airport. Like, you know what I mean? I'm B-boy, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I have a flight to Philly that I never used. I want to use it today or use it for this date. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, he's screwed
everybody.
Well,
you know how,
like,
bad they would search you if you walked in there and said, I'm B-boy?
Well, you know what I mean? Like,
you would get cavity search
I'm
for Benny, that shit.
Blah, blah, blah. Like,
no, I hear
you know what I'm saying. No one's going to try to use his name at all. But, like, I'm Benny. They're like, bang. Like,
mm-hmm.
I have this flight. Here's my ID.
Right,
blah,
right.
blah. Like, it'll be in your records. Like, bang. It's not, you know what I mean? And it sucked because it made, like, he'd think, like, it doesn't just hurt. Like, it hurts the whole company with shit like that happens. And, like, he doesn't get that. And, like,
yeah.
I said in the shoot interview, I, like 2 years ago, Cage of Death, when it was me and Drake for the title. Like, he just played backroom fucking politics trying to get it changed, like, a week before the show. Like,
right.
we've already built, you know what I mean? Like, I did all that stuff from, like, June on with, like, the Dragons and this one and that one and messing with Drake. And, like, all this to, like, for the blow off of Cage of Death. And it's like, we all worked hard for this, and you're trying to, like, get it changed. And, like, he really, really, really tried, and it bothered me. Because it was like,
yeah.
Really, dude? Like, it means that much to you? Like, it doesn't even matter. Like, this is what was, like, built to. Like, deal with it. You'll get your thing in January. Like, get over it. Like, it's all cool. Like, calm down. And, like, you know what I mean? And how bad would it have been if they would have actually done that? Like, turn around 2 days, 3 days before the show, turn around, oh, well, it ain't going to be Devin and Drake for the title anymore. We're deciding it's going to be B-Boy. You know what I mean? It doesn't. It makes me look bad. It makes the company look bad. Like, they, like, all of a sudden, oh, all right, well, we don't think Devin Drake's going to be good enough, so, you know, we're going to put these two out again. Like, it, you know what I mean? It was just stuff like that. It just added up over the years, like, and I said it about, like, I said what Verdi, like, always used to say, dude, like, and I love Benny, too, dude. Like, Benny as a person's awesome. It's just, like, when it comes to the wrestling and all, Benny's about himself. And it takes two of you to, you know what I mean, do what we do. It's not just a one-sided, like, one-person thing.
Yeah, you had mentioned that about a lot of the guys out there are just pretty much about themselves and, you know, it's just never, ever going to make the business work. I mean, I agree, man. I definitely agree. I mean, like I said, as fans, we really, really only know what we're told. So it's really hard for us to judge, you know, if DJ's not the popular guy to listen to and then a fan favorite and B-Boy, Benny, whatever you want to call him, you know, says, hey, this is what's going on, and they beat me out of this show. I mean, it's hard for the fans to really look at and say, hey, who are we supposed to believe?
Yeah, exactly. And, like, and it's just a bad situation to come, like, you know what I mean, be around. And, like, if you notice, the last, like, year at CZW, a lot of things and different people, a lot of things have been weeded out, dude. Like, it's not just, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people think, oh, like, DJ might say it's the locker room or, like, the whole thing. Like, you know what I mean? But it's a lot as a whole. It's just, like, some headaches just aren't worth dealing with anymore, dude. Like, DJ, like, people don't get it. DJ's still trying to run a company. Like,
some things can happen,
some things can't. You know what I mean? Like, trust
and
me, I'm sure if we could, brain damage would be here, you know what I mean, tomorrow. But, like, that's not, you know what I mean, like, guys like that. Like, it's not up to, like, it's not even DJ's call on some of these guys. Like, a lot of people are just, you know what I mean, MIA or don't, you know what I mean, just are
right.
Good now. Like, it sucks because people, like, shit on everything, but, like, you got a good core guys right now that are killing themselves. Best of the Best was one of the best show, probably the best show DJ's ran since he took over.
Sure.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's still working their asses off, like, and I think Drake said this like a year or two ago, dude. Like, the Mondos, the Trents, you know what I mean, the Baileys, this one, that one are gone, dude, but, like, you know what I mean, we're here, this place ain't going nowhere, like, we're keeping the place alive. Like, you might not have all these, you know, crazy sick deathmatch bumps and all this craziness anymore. We can't do anymore.
I understand,
but at the same
that,
time,
but
we kill ourselves. We're still out there trying to kill ourselves to entertain, the, you know what I mean, those people.
Right. To compare, because I know you did a lot of comparing the two and two, and something I could lend my, you know, my point or, you know, just what I see out of it, because you kind of said that, you know, well, Zandig paid you more, but DJ's offered you more opportunities. Now, I mean, through time, Zandig burned a lot of bridges, to be, you know, pretty honest.
Exactly.
It was, but if you got with CZW, say, in 02, before those bridges were burned, you probably would have got the same opportunities, would you not?
Yeah, but the opportunity,
I mean,
would have lasted, what, 6 months? I mean, look what happened. Like,
Well, we just started.
For example. Look at Trent Johnny, for example. 2002, everything was fine. They started doing Ring of Honor. Next thing you know, there's no Trent and Johnny at CZW.
Right. Well,
you know what I mean? Like,
and
Ring of Honor was an opportunity for those two. And, like, you know what I mean? I don't know what, you know, whatever happened, but whatever, for some reason, all of a sudden, there was no Backseat Boys at CZW anymore. You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know what the deal was there. Like, but, like, I just know John had, like, I don't know why, like, John didn't, never bothered me, dude, and I said that in the interview. Like,
Yeah.
I do. I understood how John, like, I understood, like, John before I came. Like, I was taught how to deal with John, and that's how I did it. And John, like, never understood, like, how I could figure out, like, how I dealt with him and, like, how I wasn't, like, how I never used to get mad or nothing, but Trent taught me. Like, you know what I mean? And Trent and John were, like, you know what I mean? Trent looked up to John, and John looked down at Trent, like, the same way. Like, John looked at him as a kid, Trent looked at him as, like, a father figure. So, like, I kind of knew how it was. Like, and trust me, I know John's a badass dude. Like, if John wanted to, he would have threw me down the fucking steps. I know he would have. But, like, you know what I mean? He liked me to a point, or else I wouldn't have been there.
Right.
Like, yeah, the money was better, but, like, I don't know, like, DJ's doing a lot more. Like, shoot, DJ took over. Like, this whole big Japan thing, it opened up a lot of doors. Dude, Drake got to go to Japan. Danny Havoc got to go to Japan. Sabian got to go to Japan. You know what I mean? I'm supposed to be going in August, God willing. So, like, I'm knocking on wood, as I say.
Like I'm saying, like, there was a point where Zandig was in Japan, Zandig was in Italy, Zandig was in Germany, Zandig was everywhere, but eventually, you know, those welcomes ran out or whatever the case may be. DJ just starting these relationships is a wonderful thing, but it doesn't necessarily make him the king of opportunity. You know, it just makes it working right now.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. But if you think about it, like the wrestling thing, dude, it's opportunities are few and far between, dude. They come and go, and that's the whole point. Like, this might be here now, just like you said, shit, 6 months from now it could be gone, but it's here now, and at least he's trying. Like, there was, you know, I mean, there was a point at the end there when John was just like, whatever, I don't give a fuck. Like, he wouldn't, you know what I mean, sell people help, and, like, I think DJ's being smart, like, because he's helping other people, and at the same time, he's helping the company. Like, he's getting more exposure for the company,
which
is a good thing.
Now, going back to speaking about the Deep South thing that we had touched on, what did you think about the fucking stabbing incident?
Well, this is a funny-ass story, too. Me and Danny Havoc are in the back sitting there chilling, get ready to go do our stuff, and this guy comes back with this stab, and Lauderdale calls us over and goes, come look at this. And Danny didn't really say much. I kind of did the Trent, like, sarcastic laugh of the, and I just pointed at him and then then proceeded to call dude an idiot and just walked away because, like, that's pretty fucking, that's all I could come up with. I was just like, you're an idiot, and just walked away because, like, it wasn't even like anything, like, it wasn't even like it was cool. It's not even like it was like a thumbtack jack, like, ooh, I got this needle, and, you know what I mean? Like, what him and JC did with JC, what they called the foot. Like,
what a segue. Well, I'll get into that in a minute, but
that was, like, but, like, that was a little bit, like, that's a little tiny, like, thing. Like, that's bad enough if you're going to do something like that. You know what I mean? Like, same thing with, like, the barefoot things. I never agreed with that. I hate that. Walk around your bare feet, stepping in glass and shit. Like, that's one thing. You just stuck a box cutter in somebody's arm. Like,
this guy,
if you're in an artery, you're bleeding out in, what, 10 minutes? Not even? Like,
well,
he
said, John Rare said that they developed that spot.
They developed that spot. How do you develop it? What, you pull out a box cutter and, what, did they practice? Does that dude got, like, 18 other scars from getting stabbed in the arm? Like
that's
how,
right.
I saw
a subway stabbing on the news the other day, and I thought to myself, I wonder how they developed that spot.
Yeah, right?
Like, oh,
ready? Here we go. Get
awesome.
Ready to get stabbed.
Awesome planning right there. You see that?
Yeah, right? Like, oh, we planned that. No, you didn't. You're just lucky he didn't get hit in the artery and bleed to death.
And then on that same radio show, they had Freak Show on there, and he said that if that spot happened in CZW's Tournament of Death and Thumbtack Jack did it, everyone would have thought it was the greatest thing ever.
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I don't think so at all.
I was amazed by the comment, and I just said,
This is why
shit.
I said I don't think so. What happened when John Zandig got hung from the arena?
I hated it.
The crowd. And they lost half the crowd.
I'm fucking loyal, and I hated it. I was like, oh, okay, we're going home now. That's
I remember
it.
Sitting there in that building, and they used to be packed, dude, from when they debuted till then. And then the month after that, dude, it was like half the crowd.
I was part of half the crowd, but still.
But you know what, because you've seen it. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah,
like,
and I walked out, I
was
like, I guess this is it.
That was the beginning of the down point. And then, like, Cage of Death revitalized it because it was awesome. But,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
now,
they just,
yeah, segueing off of that and mentioning TJ, you mentioned Thumbtack Jack is worthless. How do you figure?
See, this is another thing. This is just my opinion. I've never liked Jack. I never understood it. I don't understand. I never understood why everyone thought he was great. I mean, no offense. You could get anybody around and have them pull out a bunch of needles and stab somebody. Like Jack, in my opinion, Jack couldn't wrestle. I've never seen Jack do a wrestling match. Jack himself will even say he doesn't like to do wrestling matches. I watched him at Ian's, and I was just like, all right. Saw him the next week here against Danny Havoc. If you watch Thumbtack Jack, he does the same thing. Besides the cinder blocks, like, he does the same kind of match. Like, I've watched it, and like him and the Gage, like, I watched him and the Gage, like, it will be in different things, but he does, like, he knows his, like, three moves, and, like, let me get slammed on cinder blocks or, like, stab you with something. Like I want to see him wrestle. That was my thing. I was like, can he wrestle? Like, Masada can do both. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, but
like,
honestly,
but
I would say.
Him up like a Masada. You know what I mean? Like, I never saw him before I saw him at Ian. And the way he was hyped up was like, you know what I mean? Like, he was Masada. Oh, he can, like, straight out wrestle, and he can, like, hardcore, like, straight kill you with souls. And, like, so I was like, oh, cool. Like, you know what I mean? I was expecting a Masada kind of dude. Now I'm like,
I hear you. I think he can do a lot more. I wouldn't put him up there with, like, Masada, who's traveled the world as much as Masada has, but I would put him on the level of a Nick Mondo and say that he's better.
You think he's better than Mondo?
Yeah. Mondo had a 3-year flash in the pan that gets overrated to the fucking stars, and,
well, that was the other reason why I was, like, iffy about him, too, because... Like, I don't know, like, what Mondo did was what Mondo did, but, like, I mean, Jack's done some sick shit, but, like, I think Mondo's done sicker shit than him still, though. Like, Mondo's definitely taking sicker shit, like, besides, like certain
things. If you cross that roof bump off the fucking roster, I don't know how sick Mondo really was. I mean, he was pretty nasty, but a 3-year run really isn't shit when you compare it to other guys, and Mondo was great for 3 years. But who else gets credit for 3 years?
That's true. Look at Danny Havoc. He's been around, what, 6 now?
Yeah.
Still killing himself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not to discredit Mondo, but it's really sad to see Mondo put up as the top guy when other guys have done it for close to 10 years and Mondo's still like, nope, but there's Mondo. Like, really? You can match everybody else's fucking shit in 3 years?
I'm pretty sure at the bottom of the ladder is Nick Mondo and at the top is Nick Gage when it comes to that. Like,
so.
If you want to talk to CZW
really
guys,
so.
Like, there's definitely a John Lobo and Nick Gage and Wife Beater at him, like, in my book anyway.
Yeah, but Beater and Lobo definitely got overshadowed by Mondo for a long, long time. So.
Yeah. Well, Beater came out of it. I think Lobo's still under there a little bit, but Beater definitely broke himself out.
Yeah, definitely. a couple other guys. Let me talk before I talk, guys. The Mickey situation. Now, you had on one side, you know, I'd say most of the business and most of the fans as well thought Mickey and Ian were definitely connected and doing some things, but in the end, Mickey is saying nothing happened. And in the end, Ian is saying lots happened. And you were a guy who was closer to the situation and definitely spoke your opinion on it.
I've never seen it. But, I mean, there was times that you were just like, all right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you could tell. But there was nothing, like, straight up where I could be like, oh, I've seen. You know what I mean? Because I didn't. And I'd be lying if I did. But it was,
right.
You could tell that it was like, you know what I mean? Sometimes you could just tell. Like, I spent endless hours on the road with those two. You know what I mean? With just like the three of us and all. And like, you could just, you could tell, you know what I mean? You could feel like
just,
the tension.
Just on the sake of flirty shit or what?
Yeah, like, nah, but like, it would get a little bit worse, but like, then it would stop. But like, you know what I mean? Like, you, just the way they communicate and all this being there, like, you knew. I mean, everybody, like, just like you said, everybody speculated it. But like you could, you know what I mean? And it was their own fault that they did. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty, like, I mean, if I had to be a betting man, I'd bet on it.
Yeah.
Because there's no way she lived there 6 years rent-free without doing something with them. Like, let's be real.
Yeah. Well,
you know
no, I mean, hey, man, again, I'm only sitting where I'm sitting, but I'm hearing a lot of shit, and then you came with the same thing that Ian said, saying that she swallowed lots of loads. I figured you seen blowjobs or something.
No, because that's what he said. He said back to her in the interview, and that's what bothered me. They spent 20 minutes burying Ian, calling him all kinds of shit, saying he has hep C and all. And then, like, he says one thing back, and all of a sudden, he's the bad guy. Like, they were like, oh, my God, you can't talk like that on here. And they called him, like, a hep fucking C, this, fuck you, this, fuck that. Like, that's what pissed me off. There's a lot of other shit behind that that, like, people don't know. Like, all right, Ian's just come back from under. Granted, we all know this, whatever, who cares? Like, but, like, who cares about the shows? Like, his personal life. Like, if the dude's at a job, like, they were getting him fired from his job. They were calling, like, causing problems. Like, just let the guy live at that point. Like, my point is, everyone's bitching about getting paid back. But when the guy has no income coming in, when he can't even work a job without getting fired from, like, fans or fucking wrestlers calling there and, like, causing chaos, how the fuck does anyone expect to see their money?
But people have taken money from them. From, you know, he's taking money from people, so I don't understand where that's okay, because now we should give him leeway to work.
No, I understand, like, their aspect, but I'm saying, like, workers and shit, like, but at the same fact, like, if he has no money, right, like, say you, like, sue him, he has nothing, he ain't getting nothing, you know what I mean, like, but if he's trying to work and, like, even, like, provide for his family or anything, he can't even do that and even get anything, like, you know what I mean? The dude shouldn't be crucified until he's on the streets holding the fucking, you know what I mean, sign saying, I'll fight you for food. But like, you know what I mean? Like,
but there's only so much you can fuck somebody before,
exactly,
like, they don't care what's going
that on
in your life, you know?
Yeah, no, and I understand that too, but, like, at the same fact, like, it's like live and let live. Like, I said what I said about people on my interview. It's not like I'm calling, like, it's not like I sat here with you 2 months ago, like, burying the same person or burying this guy, like, I said what I said, I'm done. I'm not, like, I'm over it. Like, I got shit off my chest that was, like, bottled up for years, and I'm happy. Like,
cool.
Like, I, you know what I mean? But, like, some people just need to let shit go, dude. Like in Mickey's case, Mickey, you're gone. You got better shit going on. Like, all this other shit. Like, why do you go call in and bring yourself down to his level is my point. Like, they were doing exactly what he wanted them to do at the same point. You know what I mean?
Like,
just let bygones be bygones at that point. It wasn't even like he needed to start talking about her at that point.
Well, good,
like,
for you, but I mean, you can't hate on other people doing that. You just can't.
I feel bad for him because the dude did shit for me too, and like, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
he's regarded me wrong a little bit, and I agree with that, but like, at the same time, dude, he's still like another fucking person. Like, you know what I mean, Jay? Like, imagine if a bunch of people, like, you know what I mean, say, like, fans or something, or a bunch of people fucking ganged up on you and, like, start doing that shit to you. You wouldn't want, you know what I mean? Like, at some point, you just gotta leave people be. I mean, and I understand, but I just thought they gang attacked him. He got no fucking, like, and I give him credit for not just hanging up, because if that was me and a bunch of people just called, I ain't listening. Goodbye. I ain't even listening.
Yeah.
Like, he actually.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like,
but,
and I'm not, like, defending him, because he fucking fucked a lot of people. I just don't, like, because in Mickey's thing, like, Mickey's acting like shit was so bad and everything was horrible. And like you said, I was there a lot of time.
Yeah.
Mickey was treated fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She was always fed. She had a fucking roof over her head. You know what I mean? She did a lot for Ian, but Ian did a lot for her. I mean, look at Mickey now.
Well,
As
far as Mickey, what do you think about, you know, they ran, like, a Mickey benefit show because of her injury, and all the money went to Ian because supposedly he was paying her bills. So, But do you think the fans would have came out and paid for that, for like a Ian repayal on supporting Mickey fund instead of helping Mickey out while she's hurt.
Oh, probably not. But I
mean, there you, that's what I'm saying. Like,
no, I understand. No, I'm saying I understand that. But I mean, you got to look at like this. Like, he was like at that time she was living there. He was paying all her bills. It wasn't like. Yeah,
but the benefit wouldn't have went off well that way.
Oh, no, fuck no. You're 100% right. I mean, and I'm not trying to defend Ian here, because trust me, Ian's done a lot of wrongs, but he's going to have to fucking, you know what I mean? He's still dealing with it now, but at what point do you finally let somebody go? I mean, dude, the guy hasn't ran a show since King of the Death last year, I don't think. Like, he's a fucking, like, who cares about shows? The guy ain't even trying to run shows no more. He tried to run that one. This one, like, weekend a month ago or whatever. And, I like, when he calls me with him, I say, yeah, I know they ain't going to happen. There's no way in hell they're going to happen. He owes way too many people money. Fans don't fucking, like, why even run? You piss the fans off and off. Like, I understand all that. I agree with everybody on that. But at the same time, like, you got to let somebody live at one point, dude. Like, I don't know, about his kids and shit, dude. Like, that's what I'm worried about. Like, it's not even him in general. Like, he's got two fucking kids. Like, you know what I mean? You wouldn't want your kids to have to go through the shit that, you know what I mean?
Not at all, but I don't do
that. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm not saying, you know, I know, I understand that, Jay. I'm not saying you do. But, you know what I mean? Like, I'm more worried about the poor fucking kids, because that's going to, like, all this torture and shit they're putting into is going to fuck them up. I'm not really worried about him as much as, you know what I mean? It's more about the kids than him.
It's just,
I just don't want to see.
Like, just,
I don't want to see John Calvin and James Christopher get fucked up because their dad went fucking nuts because he got, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I want.
I understand
about.
That.
Like, he deserves it. You're right, Jay. Like, he does deserve it. But, like, in the same fact, like, he's still fucking, he's still somebody, like, a person. And, like, I'm still, like, cool with him. Like, Necro's the same way with it. Like, me and Necro look at it the same way. Oh, it's Ian. Like, you know
and
what
Drake.
I mean?
I know.
You know what I mean? Like,
but my thing here is, listen, man, if you're okay with the dude, I understand that. I don't have a problem with you letting up on, because if I was you and my favorite match of my career was a match that, you know, or you had with JC that can't be seen because he fucked somebody over, so now you can't see that or nobody else could share that match, I would never forgive this motherfucker. But the fact that you're able to, great. Huh?
Is Joe Bailey on here still?
I think so.
Joe?
Not sure. I know he's listening in, but I'm not. Eric?
Give me 1 second, all right?
Okay. But, you know, that's like the thing. I would never forgive him for something like that. But the fact that you're able to makes you a great person. But you can't.
All right, let me put him back on.
Okay.
Let me put him back on real quick.
Okay.
All right, he's on.
But I just don't think you could hate on the on other people for not forgiving, because it does happen, you know?
Okay, he's on.
Yeah, no, the Mickey thing bothered me because she did a lot for him, just like she did a lot. You know what I mean? She did a lot for him, he did a lot for her. Like, their relationship fucking fell apart and it sucked. But, like, they both just run their mouths. I told him that, too. Like, both of you just need to shut up. Like, you guys are doing, like, whatever relationship you had, just both of you leave it alone. Like, it's not just, like, her, but, like, every time I hear something, it's always her better. But, yo, Joe, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
We need to, like, if there's any way, we need to get a hold of Kevin Kleinrock, who's, like, taped me and JC that did that scaffold match that we'll never see, because that's one of my favorite matches, and I know you'll like it a lot, too, like, I meant to say that to you on the phone last night. That's why I wanted to say that, because you brought that up, Jay. I forgot all about it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm sure if we can get a hold of, like, Kleinrock himself, I'm sure, like, we can get the fucking match. Because he fucked that all up, of course.
Crazy echo, Eric.
But the thing with Ian is Ian's like a leopard. He's not going to change his spots. He's
no,
going to fuck people. I don't know how he gets people to drink his fucking juice, but they drink it. My kid drank it. But I never drank none of it. I told him to keep his mouth shut about my kid before he died, and he run his mouth after he died. And now I'm going to just say this, and I'm not going to scream and shout about it, but if a motherfucker ever tries to make a dime running a show with him being a promoter don't get on the show because I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to do whatever I got to do because Ian's made his own track record. He's made a record for himself, and I've kept a good copy of it. He shit on my boy. He sold my boy drugs at the King of the Death, or he gave them to him, and my kids killed himself for him. I have to give the devil dues. He paved the way for JC to get into combat zone and this and that. But still, JC's my kid, and anytime you're a parent and somebody gives or sells drugs to your kid, if you love them, you're going to have a hate for them. And,
I agree with you, Joe, 100%.
And JC wasn't really up on it because JC was hot. JC was hot about him shitting on him. He was hot about the deal with him fucking Mickey around. And in July last year, before JC even died, I told Ian he had a spot then to back away, leave my kid alone. I mean, JC didn't need me to protect him, but I didn't have nothing to do. I'm a disabled vet, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'll hunt you down like a dog, and that's what I told him I'd do. And then after JC passed, it all comes out about him. I mean, Ian admitted himself. It's not like somebody told me. I mean, he admitted on this radio show, this guy out in North Carolina.
No, that was his own fault, dude. I don't condone that one bit, dude. Like, you deserve the fucking, you should have.
But I
was surprised you didn't kick his ass at the show in Indianapolis, honestly.
But, you know, seeing Indianapolis, I didn't know that then either.
Because I'm not going to lie to you, Joe. I was reffing that match, and when, like, him and Simon were over by you,
right.
I looked and was just like, you started to, like, fume up. And I heard him call the spot with Simon. They were like, the powerbomb on the steps. And I was just like, I already know Joe hates this fucking spot. And they did it. And I saw you look. I was like, he's going to whip me and dance. This is going to be awesome. I was going to hold people back. I was waiting for it. I was like,
my purpose for being around the ring was that I run shows, man. This shit swinging these fucking metal chairs, beating one another in the head. You know, how many tables you need to go through, how many chairs you need to wrap around somebody's head. I run wrestling shows, and you can watch JC shoot interviews since you want to talk. JC made more money working for me selling Polaroids than he made working for Ian or doing any of that shit, but he loved what he did. He loved working for Ian. He wanted to go to Japan. Pondo got him over. The shit he did with Ian, with Pondo and the in the spider web death match or circus of death match, you know, I don't want to taint. What I do is me. What JC would do, if JC was here, he'd probably, you know, be honestly me getting on Ian's ass about this and that, about them shows. JC might have raised a little hell about it. He might have said, Dad, what the fuck are you doing? But, you know, the whole point, in fact, of me is my heat with him. I don't blame that man for my son being dead. I want everybody to understand that. I'm mad because he came to the funeral home. He talked shit in the back. Nobody didn't come tell me to talk shit because my mind's somewhere else. My kids did. He borrowed money out in the parking lot. Or my sister-in-law gave money in the parking lot because he's crying about it. He's broke because JC's mother wanted him to fuck away from her. And then I hear about him giving JC drugs. JC had drug issues. JC's first addiction was wrestling. Then JC had an addiction with pills, but he got to taking pills for all the shit that you guys, you kids, put yourself through for these fans to put this show over. I mean, some of the fucking shit y'all do ain't even human. And it got to be a problem for him. But JC was trying to get all that straight. Unfortunately, he had some brain hemorrhaging and concussion syndrome, and it got him. But as much as I miss my kid, he I am very proud of JC. He did everything he wanted to do. He did what he wanted to do. And I just hope it. And I'm going to say this, and this is just like a butthole. Every one of us has got one. There's a whole lot of boys that's working in combat zone now. There's a whole lot of things going on in combat zone now. Boys that went to East Coast IWA, went to Deep South. It's because my kid helped pave the way because stinking rotten took him back in 2001 or 2000 to combat zone. And, JC took some good ass whoopings up there and beat downs from the whole fucking locker room. But Zandig seen he was a tough little kid and kept him around. And JC loved all you boys up there. Drake, Danny Havoc, man, he loved them boys. And I just want everybody, you know, I just want to make sure there ain't nobody shooting on my kid, talking no shit about him.
Right.
I don't want to argue about him no more. I don't wish no harm on Ian's kids, but, you know, man, I've seen him fuck a whole bunch of kids. I mean, families, he's ripped families off. So, you know, I don't care if he's, you know, please don't take us wrong, but I don't care if he's got money to feed his kids or not. There's things called food stamps.
I understand fully, Joe. I understand. Like, I'd be the same way. And you're 100% right, dude. If it wasn't for guys like JC and stuff, dude, we wouldn't be carrying those letters CCW today. But, you know, I mean, you're 100% right. Like,
Joe, if I can... Joe, if I can, I'd like to ask you, too. I know Devin, you know, said he's not, and I respect that, and that's fine and everything. But, you know, for the people who may be trying to blackball Billy Graham out of CCW for the sake of shitting on Ian Rotten, I mean, do you think JC would back any of that? What do you think JC would think of that?
Well, if anyone is shitting on Billy over the fact that he backed JC with the deal with Ian, if that's what's got him all his heat, I don't know what all the issues is. I mean I don't know what they did here, what they did there, but I can speak out on this. If anyone is upset with Billy because he was upset with someone or upset or fired on Ian's ass for what Ian done with JC, then you know, they're wrong. They're out of place. They couldn't have been JC's friends. Because if you love JC and you're JC's friend, and if you're really JC's friend, you know, JC had issues and problems with drugs. And for anybody to have gave him drugs, somebody like him, and being in a position that he was in, after he's done asked JC to kill his goddamn self for him over and over and over again, you know, then it's wrong. You know, they're wrong. They're out of place. You know, Billy's got a lot of love for JC. I know Billy's got issues with different people. I would hope that Billy would calm down, back away from this, let everything settle. I hope the boys, I hope the boys are not mad at Billy over the deal with JC. I hope it's other issues, because if they're mad at Billy over him throwing shit on Ian, then that breaks my heart, because Billy was throwing shit on that guy because he did JC wrong. Because I'm here to tell you, it's a hard thing. I've done got to where I am now. I can't even stand to go to the cemetery, man, because it kills me. I got to go up, but that's where my son's laying at. My son's gone. He ain't never going to be back in this world. And, you know, Billy spoke out against Ian Rotten and the shit he done for JC out of respect and love for JC and the Baileys. And I don't know what all the issues is up at the combat zone. I'd like to see them all get it worked out. I'd like to see everybody be happy, because life's too short for a bunch of arguments.
Sure.
And you know, it's just like I told Devin last night. I was in the position as a promoter for Bad the Bone Wrestling here and owned it in Kentucky. I was in the position to let people chase their dream. And whether they could wrestle or not, or whether they could do this, whether they could do that. Now, some people have to be taught to keep their mouth shut. And if that's the situation, that Billy needs to learn to back away and back down from this and that, he needs to do that. But if you're in a position to be able to help somebody chase their dream, live their dream, because, see, some people ain't going to play on the same stage, even that Devin's playing on, that Drake, the Boys of Combat's on, because that's one of the top indies in the United States. I mean, period. Ain't nobody can ever take that away from them. But if you're in a position somewhere in life to be able to help somebody and get somebody up there, help them get them up there, help them chase a dream. And if you're trying to chase a dream, you know you got some problems, then try to learn from what your problems was to where you can get back to where you're at. You know, you need to nip this all in the bud to where someday, somewhere, hopefully in the near future, then it'll all work out. Billy's problem, Combat Zone's problems, all get worked out.
Yeah,
just sometimes old men get whacked out and get crazy and say shit they don't mean to say. You know, Billy's like, man, no, old men do stupid shit. Old men
shit,
do stupid shit, but everybody
it.
Just needs to love everybody and make sure you tell your babies you love them, you go to bed at night. And all these boys out here working this stupid, crazy shit, just remember you got a mom, a dad at home, brother, sister, somebody, you know. God damn, don't leave him, man, because it's awful. Awful, awful, awful.
Thank you,
Joe. I just hope that.
I just hope that the fans realize what these boys
put themselves through. You know, I've heard some fans out here. I got some shit about, oh, yeah, you had a wonderful kid, but, you know, him, the pills and shit. Yeah, you motherfucker, you coming there paying $8, $10, $15 for a ticket. My kid's out there fucking killing himself. The reason he's eating one of these fucking pills is because he's addicted to wrestling and entertaining you, giving you 110%. You know, and so I just like to see people, you know, I hope all this gets worked out. I tried to stay out of the downstream of it. I hope nobody don't forget
Absolutely.
About my boy and show my boy some love and just remember him for what he was, because he definitely loved professional wrestling. He loved Combat Zone. He loved the fans
Absolutely.
Up there. Mike Burns is a super guy. And DJ,
awesome.
I know him was all good. And I got all kinds of love for Drake. And Scotty and them, all them boys up at Drake, all them boys, because I knew them before the Combat Zone even existed. You know, I was back up there when they was 17, 18 years old, wrestling in the ring and doing crazy shit. But I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to be on there.
God bless, Joe.
And I'm going to get off here, man, because my girl don't even like me being on the phone with the wrestling show too much. Because she knows how
good,
wrong.
Joe. Thank you for coming on. God bless. And... Man. Thank you for coming
all right,
on
man.
Once
Look,
again.
I'm gonna run. Y'all take care and God bless.
Absolutely.
You too, Joe. Take care.
So yeah, that was Father JC Bailey, Joe Bailey, once again coming on the show. Dev, we're back. And
I agree with everything he just said there, dude. He's right. Like, dude, and I said I really thought he was gonna come over to guardrail in Indianapolis and BD and this. I was gonna let him go.
I know, man. I know you got much love for Bailey, man.
And I understand that too, dude. But like, you know what, dude? Like, I don't know. I just got a soft spot. It makes me feel bad for Ian. I can't help it. Even when I want to get mad at the fucking
But
guy,
you know you're in the minority there. It's not like you're...
And, dude, I know that. Like, it's not like I go walking around preaching the fucking good praises of Ian Rotten. Like, that's fine. Like, I usually just sit back and let shit go. But, like, I don't know. I'm just fed up with the whole Mickey Him thing. And I'm just fed up with dealing with it. And, like...
I hear you.
I used to stick up for her with, like, a lot of people. Because, like, a lot of people talk shit on her. And, like, she's two-faced, she's that and all. And it's just, like, it's kind of like I kind of seen, like, shit that people warned me about for, like, years. And it was kind of like, wow.
I hear you, man.
So, like,
but
and I understand that. People ain't going to agree with me.
Like I said, you threw fire on there, and it's, you know, it's going to catch heat. And it's nothing, you know. I love you, Dev, man. You're cool motherfucker, man. There's no maybe about it. Like, I really like you as a person. There's no... I might disagree with a few things you say, but I honestly don't think I'd agree with everything that anybody says.
Yeah, exactly.
I really don't. Like,
yeah.
I don't think there's a... I tell my girl every day, that's a bunch of bullshit you telling me right now. Stop telling me that shit. I've been with her for 12 fucking years, so I already know. You know what I mean? It's not...
Yeah.
You know, it's no eight. Another call we just got just now, Dev. You got to hold your hat for this one, but Billy's on the line.
Nice.
So let's go ahead and settle this hash right now. Welcome to the show, Billy Graham.
How could it be such a great party tonight with all this talk going on and I'm not there? Like, it would be so breaking my character or my lack of any to not be present. So, but it's wrestling. So wait one second, man.
So, let's go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, re-entering the Yakuza Kick Zone. He is the one, the only, absolutely, motherfucking Graham.
Do you really need
How's
to make your own fucking entrance?
How's
Do you
that
really
entrance,
need to?
Man? Yes, I had to, man. My heart beats pain. That's the deal.
That was
you
awesome.
Know, like, you know,
well, you didn't crush
man,
his fucking opinion. You need
all,
to make
a
way, go ahead.
I'm past the cure at this point. But anyway, what I'm going to say is that, yes, I agree with everything Joe just said. And, you know, as far as, like, so there's just, like, I'm not even going to, like, if anybody that doesn't know that I kept my own issues buried for a long time. Okay, I was sitting here minding my own business when I got called and told that Joe Bailey's on the radio having it out with Ian. Okay, so am I allowed to be, you know, I didn't even know that Mickey or Bull or Pondo or anybody had been on earlier. My fucking computer started going off telling me Joe Bailey's having it out with Ian. I heard what was going on. I fucking flipped out. You know, that's the bottom line. So I guess if everybody else is allowed to have their reactions to whatever, and there's always a justification, I guess, as usual, as keeping with the double standard when it comes with me and everybody else, is that I'm not allowed, everything that I do is accentuated just like everything else I do, whether it's fucking how long my hair is or how long I fucking talk, okay? But on one hand, you know.
Which is long, ball plays. Go ahead.
Listen, Devin, man, earlier tonight, you said, man, Billy's old enough to be like our father, man, and all right. So, yeah, maybe like. Maybe what I'm doing when I'm talking or something like that is not because I'm trying to fucking run the show or anything else like that. As far as not doing, not wanting to do what's being told and, you know, bitching when the things don't go my way. I mean, you know, I guess there's always a point where people focus on certain isolated incidences and take that as a totality of something somebody's doing. But the truth of what I did with CZW was it took me 2 years to get in there. I've always been a team player. I did things for everybody in the company, from putting them up at my house to extending myself personally, which is one of the reasons why certain individuals trusted me to work with JC, because they knew I would care about him and I would take a vested interest personally. And that's something that I'm not tooting my horn. That's something that Joe and the rest of the Baileys tell me, okay, which is how I got in the position of having to speak. Because it was a responsibility. But wait, just one thing, Jay, please let me say this, right? Like, I'm shooting straight here, okay? Like,
hey,
as far
you gotta
as,
let them talk to, man.
I know this, and I want him to. I've been listening, okay? And what I'm saying here is that, you know, I cut 48 music videos for everybody in CZW, including Devin, hundreds of hours for nothing to help the product. Those Hollywood Dylan Summers videos, that was me, all this shit, commentary, anything that was asked of me, getting my ass kicked, anything, okay? Sorry I'm just as enthusiastic as everybody else. You know, it took me a lot longer to get there. And I have less time. I'm not going to be the heavyweight champion. I'm not in the main match. And painting me, anybody, as a person who only tried to go in business for himself and put himself over is just not fair. And to say that most people don't like me, I think is also not fair, because I think that some people are in a position to be a little bit more vocal about their likes and their dislikes. And I'm easy always to throw under a bus, you know what I mean? I do talk a lot. So what? At least I have something to fucking say, and I'm not gossiping about people mindlessly. The two times when I didn't follow anything and raised hell, you know, everybody's shooting on me. Well, yeah, I didn't want to go out and follow a script last September and not acknowledge that something had happened with our friend in real life. Okay? And so I rolled my fucking dice, and I did what I had to do. Okay, and I apologize to fucking DJ for having to do what I had to do. He didn't take it any further than there. He didn't have a beef. Yeah, it's his company. Like you said, he's trying to run a business. But it's everybody else raising an issue again, right? Then the whole thing of what happened at fucking COD, dude, have I ever fucking went out anywhere publicly to any marks, any fans, and tried to fucking say, oh, like what Devin did to me, okay? And there's two sides to that coin, man, and fucking, you know what? That's the fucking risk you take. That's the chances. I'm not a fucking pussy. I don't like, and I didn't fucking, I still did, and you know, dude, like that wasn't what was supposed to be, and I still went up and did it. Sorry I was a little bit fucking upset about, you know, the dynamic of how that all flowed. Hey, by the way, you're not doing this, Bill. You're just getting thrown fucking 20 foot off the fucking cage at death free falling when everybody knows I don't want to do it that way. So, all right,
Billy,
No, but I'm just
pause
saying, man,
for
painting
a
me
let
as a,
Dev
yeah,
talk
but,
and then,
Penn, Chuck, fairly painting me as a guy that only fucking wants to put himself over, that wasn't a team player, that did everything I could to help CZW from getting gunpowder to Prada fucking high-heeled shoes, belts, fucking cutting video, commentary, and I'm just a fucking out-for-me guy. I just, that sucks, man. And I'm not
right,
getting personal with nobody. I'm not, man.
We got
I'm
a lot of time left. We got a lot of time left on the record, but we only got 10 minutes left live, so all of this stuff will be fine on the download, but I do want to get Devin started.
I understand,
started
and I'm not trying to
respond.
Fucking,
I want to get Devin start to respond to the stuff that you're saying before we go off with the live feed. Okay, so
sorry,
go ahead.
I apologize, Devin. Sorry, man. I talk too much, right?
No, you're fine, Bill. Like, dude, I don't have a fucking problem with you. I was mad about Alabama. I said my piece on the interview. I'm good. Like, I'm relieved. Like, dude, a lot of the shit I said on the interview was shit that was bottled up that I just needed to get out because it's been irking me. Like a lot of people. Like, and that's what I did. And that's and I feel great now. But, like, dude, it ain't me or, like, a Drake or anybody holding you out, dude. Like, you need to talk to DJ. Because, like I just said earlier, I don't care if you're there or not. You don't bother me, dude.
But
you're old. You don't
like
bother
I said,
me.
What Jay just said earlier was that, like, you know, if you put it out there in the public that way, and now I've got people that are trying to, those fans trying to express they'd like to see me back. Okay, and look, I'm not going to fucking bullshit anybody here. Everybody knows the story with me. You either love me or fucking hate me. But to paint it that it's fucking actually won narrowly on either side of that, and that's both kayfabe and fucking in real life, okay? Like, and you know what? Fuck them if they can take a joke and fuck them if they can't, dude. Seriously, because to say that what Jay had said earlier was that putting that out there to the public, like, you know, it's my position against yours. Yeah, it's Drake's position against mine. Well, yeah, like, you know, I'm the longest reigning CZW champion of all times. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm under the delusion that I sell 400 seats a month in South Philadelphia. You know, that's why I'm there, because I think I'm going to be the next fucking goddamn fucking Hulk Hogan, right? That's why I'm there. I'm there because I don't do shit for anybody, and because I'm just there to self-mark. Doesn't know anything, never contributed anything to anybody but his fucking selfish fucking attention or self. I mean, that's how people are taking it. And there's not – what wrestling promoter in their right mind would choose Billy Graham over Drake and Devin?
Nobody.
You know what I mean?
But meanwhile, every day, all day long,
Devin, when there's only 240 fucking seats being sold at the fucking show, right, I got fucking fans from the local area that come to the shows – people from all over the world that were buying DVDs that are saying, Billy, man, what the fuck? We love Cult Fiction. When are you coming back? What's going on with CZW? Like, and what do I say? It's not up to me. You need to talk to DJ. Cult Fiction appreciates your support. I appreciate your support. Thank you. Have a nice day. Okay? And then I'm deemed publicly low class for my issues with Ian, which I admit were complex, and some of them are personal. And maybe as the old guy,
I didn't say nothing about you and Ian.
I was, but I'm saying, Devin, I wasn't part of some planned fucking gang jumping of Ian. That was not how that happened for me. Okay, so if anybody else is allowed to get something off their chest, bro, you know,
Gary
Wiseman
might have planned a gang jumping, but he didn't expect Billy whatsoever. I could vouch for that.
I got tipped off, and when
Gary
Wiseman
wanted some shit, but Billy just happened to get involved.
Well, that's all good, man. You know what? That's the broadcast journalism, man. You know what I mean? That's what you got to get out there in this shit, man. Because we got to sell tickets somehow. But literally, what I'm saying is, Devin, that when fucking there's look, okay, so maybe yeah, okay, you know, it's Cult Fiction's bullshit support, right? Like. If that support would have sold 12 more tickets last month with the draw that you had at the arena, from what I heard, okay, like, wouldn't it have helped defer the cost? Because we all know Billy Graham isn't costing the fucking... Come on, man! If I sell 12 tickets with the gimmick, there's no way I got that 12 tickets back. So, you know, what am I, fucking... I'm being flown in from the fucking West Coast for my crib in Cali? I mean... You know, and dude, I still did get fucking, you know, you still tossed me, bro. Okay, whatever, man. Boo, I didn't hit the glass. I got my fucking leg busted up.
Oh,
man. All right. I don't
well,
care. It's
let's,
fucking
let's
CZ
get
fucking
into that
w.
now.
It's a fucking combat
let's
zone,
get
man.
Into that now.
Because
honestly, like,
happened,
what I
want to
get off of this is not controversy. What I want to get off of this is closure, and I want to get people on the same level, and I want to get
dude,
everybody working together.
Good.
Because I love Devin, man. Devin's my dude. At Chuck. And Billy, you're my dude. You always have been, and I want to get you guys on the same. I want to get everybody fucking right tonight. And so let's get this fucking Cage of Death incident out in the fucking air. I mean, I've heard several different things. Hey, it was obviously a botched spot. Whether it's this guy, whether it's that guy, Billy got fucking hurt severely. And Devin put out there on fucking clear air that Billy fucked up so bad he broke his leg and should never get in the fucking ring again. And
when did I say that?
On the shoot, motherfucker. Man, how? You were drinking those little natty ices
wait,
or whatever
wait,
the fuck you were drinking.
Yeah. Did I say
that?
Oh,
was a little cooler. Like, that was a warm case, man. A warm case.
Oh, shit, man. You were drinking that bullshit beer on the air.
I didn't, I might have said it, I'm not saying I didn't, I just don't remember.
You fucking held on to me, I picked
Devin, Drake, fucking bottom heavy ass up, I can pick your skinny ass up, I don't know. Since this, according to our host, J-Cat, you opening the filing statement by saying this out there and everyone's seen it, shouldn't I get to have my opening?
Oh, here I go. Now I'm the fucking
asshole. No, you're judge, Joey, it's fine.
If I said it, I did, but that was the facts. You held on to my shirt and almost pulled me off with you, right or wrong.
Okay. Now, see, this is like, Your Honor, I object. He's leading the witness, man. Listen, okay, let me say what I'm going to say, and then I'll let you dispute it, right?
Jesus
okay, first
Christ.
Of all, my whole thing when we're talking about
it's like
what's
an asshole
being,
radio next week.
What's being put out there and what isn't, okay, is that there's two sides to that coin, and I'll get to that in a second, but what I'm saying is that I didn't go out in public and blame you for fucking hurting me, okay? I didn't go out there and say, hey, this is how I think it happened.
Billy, in all reality, I didn't hurt you. If you would have went through the glass and then hold on to me and almost pulled me off, you would have went through
the
glass.
The glass was pretty far. I got to be honest with you. The glass was pretty fucking far.
Hey, look, and who set it up? I did.
Wrestler-wise, I don't know.
But listen, what I'm saying is I don't have a fucking problem with being fucking hurt, with it being botched, whatever, you get what I'm saying? Like, shit happens, it's the fucking combat zone. Obviously, I wouldn't be in a position of being thrown off there if I wasn't. I'm not a stupid guy, okay? Like, whatever, I could be in a wheelchair, it's cool, man. Seize it up, man, you know? What I'm saying is, the way my side of this story goes, since you had to put it out there this way, is that it was supposed to be a press slam. And let me finish, okay? When I got up there on that fucking chain link, it wasn't like standing next to you in the back in a ring. The chain link was sinking even under my fucking skinny ass, and you're both up there too. When you go to pick me up, okay, I felt I didn't help you too much. And no, I'm not like, yay, I can't wait, this is going to happen. But to say that at that point, dude, adrenaline, no, not afraid. Here's the ride, yeehaw, Hershey Park. That's what's in my head, okay? But I was still holding on because I was waiting for you to press me. I was still trying to push up. And the DVD, ladies and gentlemen, does not lie. Watch it. Buy it from smartmarkvideo.com. Cage of Death, what was that, 13, 12? I get the numbers mixed up.
12.
I'm old and I'm senile like 12. That it doesn't look like you pressed me, bro. It looks like I'm on your shoulder and you just tossed me over. And I'm not mad about that. It's okay. But, like,
The reason I tossed you, Billy, is because I put you on my head to put you up for the press, and you started to go. And it was throw you, or you were hitting the top of your head on the top of that
okay,
cage.
Okay, so how did I like this? I'm the most retarded guy. Like, I never put myself over as the flying Walenda or Nastasia.
I never said you did.
I'm saying, like, dude, like, I don't have to go out there and go, well, you know, like, Devin Moore fucking didn't press me, and, you know, my leg is broken.
I put the pictures
out there on Facebook like a badge of honor. Like, yay, this is what I did for CZW, you know what I mean? Like, hooray, I'm glad I did it. Like, you know, I said thanks to Devin Moore. Like, that meant, like kayfabe, dude. Like, you're my mortal fucking enemy. Ooh, you know? I'm not like on a fucking DVD saying like, oh, fucking, you know, Chuck tried to kill me, man. You know, like, that's all I'm saying. And like, of course, as Jay said, man, if somebody, oh, wait, one more thing, man, about fucking Sweet Home Alabama, okay? And everybody, look, we've broken every other barrier tonight. You know, so sorry about my promo slamming Alabama, all you people in Alabama, when we did the Carnage Cup. Obviously, that was a character. The whole thing about fucking this thing now that just emerges in the last 24 hours of my life is that I was rude about the weed in the car in Alabama and shit, okay? Like, yes, I am. I'm the one running around drama, talking to all these people. It's like, no, I'm a grown man. If somebody had a beef, and I can tell you what, I wasn't even serious. I was just, like, running my miserable old man gimmick. Like, as comedy to keep myself surviving, and like, oh, yeah, I'm really crazy, and I might not know that, But when someone did break that rule and someone did spark a joint in that fucking van against the rules, it wasn't me, and you and me both took a hit from it. So why the fuck are you mad at me, man? Because I was going, well, I can't believe, like, Jay, I was literally going, like, I can't believe this shit. I'm in a van with fucking 10 other smelly people. We're driving 18 hours to fucking Alabama to do the Carnage Cup. Like, this sucks. And these fucking kids, they don't know how to party. They won't even let me smoke a fucking joint. God, I'm going through nicotine withdrawal. Like, but I'm saying it was a gimmick, man. It was a gimmick. Like, did I really hate somebody? No. Like, did I fucking say, wow, what a low life? You know what I mean? Like, no. Like, you know,
my whole thing is y'all motherfuckers should be cool as shit, and you should have been whispering this cat's ear and been like, "Yo, Dev, we need to go blaze somewhere or something." And I don't see where Dev would have been like, "Fuck that."
We did do that. We did do that. I'm just saying. I'm like doing.
I don't see where Dev would be like, "I don't want to smoke. Fuck you with that shit."
No, look, we smoked.
Put that bullshit away.
We smoked. We just weren't doing it riding in the car, man. And that was cool with me, man. I have lots of people
cool
I can't smoke weed riding
and
in the
and
car.
And so is Billy. That's why
wanna,
I don't understand none
I don't
of
usually
this.
Want it in a vehicle, but 18 fucking hours to fucking Coleman, Alabama, man. You know what I mean?
Fuck that, dude. Fuck all
right.
of that.
I felt like I was in a fucking van going to the joint to get locked up with a bunch of fucking, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, they don't like me in their cell, you know? They ain't exactly fucking, you know, Chrissy and fucking, you know, whatever her name is on Three's Company to room with in those kind of close quarters either, you know what I mean?
Janet?
You know, fucking one of them was shitting their pants the whole fucking
Janet.
Way, fucking back. And if I'm crying, I'm talking like, whatever, man, you know? I mean, like, you see me, like, you know, so-and-so's got shit in their pants, you know? Like, what the fuck, you know? I can't stand it. I wanted to vomit.
I just hate politics. Honestly, I completely hate politics. And
well, I just try to, that's caca politics, because that's what it's about. Somebody shitting in their pants, you know what I mean? I also think earlier, man, the whole thing about, like, well, you know, everybody's got the same passion of trying to want to, you know, do shit. And if you weren't, like, a mark for yourself, you wouldn't be out there doing it. Like, everybody better
now,
be one.
Now, to
and,
be completely
and, but,
honest, Billy, I consider you a great, great wrestling manager. Are you off the top of the cage type guy?
I wouldn't think I'm an off the top of the cage. I mean, I don't mind, like, you know,
well,
I like doing.
You might
no,
do
I'm,
it, but is that your MO?
No, man, but no, not at all, you know? But
right.
No,
so that's,
no, and,
that's what I'm
no,
saying.
But I'm, no, but. But what I'm saying is,
if it comes down to
that, we had one thing planned, like, for so long, and I was so happy with that, and I was so trusting that, and thought it was going to work, and, you know, then this just gets thrown at me, something I don't do, like, I'm in a free fall from that height, you know, like, and so,
right.
I still fucking, I mean, I still met you up there, bro, and I still got tossed off, what the fuck, man, you know, sorry, like, I won't get, I'm not going in the Hall of Fame next to fucking Rey Mysterio, I'm not, you know, like, you know, does that mean
yeah,
I do guess, nothing?
Yeah, guess
I, do,
words
I,
it,
I do nothing right there. I do nothing relevant there. I don't add to anything. You know what I mean? I never did nothing to fucking.
Devin was,
you know,
cut off.
You know.
Huh?
Devin was cut off. He said he just sent me a message like 2 seconds ago saying he just got cut off.
Oh, tell him call right back in.
I'm gonna try calling him on my cell phone and then just. Having it, you know, part of the
conversation. Alone. Hello, hi. Like, are Lane and Brandon in bed? Are they still in the chat room? I saw they were watching.
Yeah. I had Lane, Deranged.
I had
everybody. Normally I have Nicole and Toby every week, but I think they lost their phone this week or their computer. No, they've been lost their phone. I think they lost their computer this week.
Computer problems, yes.
And that's a big, big loss because they're such phenomenal people, man.
Well, I mean, you know, well, so I guess I'm here along with you until he calls back.
Well, for now, but hopefully we'll get Dev back because he said he was cut off, so it wasn't intentional.
I would like him to come back. I mean, look, what you said about getting people together, if I've in any way not shown exactly that right here by my words and actions.
I very much would like to do so. I mean, there is arguments to be had, but if we could at the end of the argument come together and say, hey, you know what, we are here for the fucking same thing. We're both hugely entertaining people. Let's get it back on. Dev!
Yeah.
Oh,
welcome.
I'm back.
Welcome
Hooray.
Back,
thank
Dev.
You.
Let me get your fucking voice for a minute. What's up, man?
No, I got cut off, so I was trying to call back in.
No, but I was like, yo, all right, Billy, pause for a minute. I need Devin. You got your side of things, or what? What do you got?
You got me? Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I hear you now.
Billy wants to come back. Hey, Michael, fucking, he's got, like, that's DJ, like, whatever, you know what I mean? He's got to do with DJ to get him back is what needs to be done.
I mean, being a good friend of Drake, you know, do you have any knowledge of Drake saying the same thing that you said on the shoot, saying he won't come back if Billy does?
I don't know if Drake's saying anything like that.
Okay. I mean, just word is, rumor is.
Like, I didn't, like, mean it like that, because when it really comes down to it, Billy knows this as well as I do. My say don't mean shit. I fucking bitch to Billy just like he bitches at me at some shit, dude. Like, my say don't matter.
I feel you, man. I mean, it's just...
There's
always backstage bickering. It just doesn't need to lead to one guy not being allowed in the company because of a personal problem.
Exactly. I know what you mean.
True that. A couple other people, you know, I did want to ask you about, you know, being I do have you on, Dev, is Dustin Lee. How did you feel about the whole situation? I got my opinion as a fan, too, but go ahead.
I can't fucking stand Dustin. Don't even get me started. Like, he's ran his mouth more about me. He's ran his mouth more about me in, like, 4 years, and I don't think I've ever said one thing about the kid besides, like, in an interview, and it's just like, whatever. Like, I don't even care. Like, Dustin's not even worth, like, me selling. Like, but if I ever see him again, I'm probably going to fucking hurt him. But
yeah,
I personally don't blame you,
and I know I think Billy's okay with him and whatnot, but honestly, I don't like the motherfucker. I don't think that he said some accurate shit about, you know, people back there. I think his ideas were fucking far and beyond, and he was more or less someone who didn't make it into business, but that's just my opinion as a fan. I mean, but I actually highly, highly enjoyed your comments on Dustin Lee during the interview, because I don't know, dude. I just think he's disrespectful, underappreciative, and I think just automatically think he accepts, like, as much money as his friends, and he wants everything sterilized and light tubes sterilized and barbed wire. Just doesn't seem right, you know?
Yeah. It's out of control.
Who has a fucking steam cleaner to put on fans' weapons or whatever the fuck you got? I don't know, man. I don't understand that. Hardcore wrestling is a dangerous thing. I mean, you could see that as a fan, as a child. You could see that you're like, holy shit, these guys. To think that you could sterilize every item to the fucking inner core, where inside of a light tube is fucking mercury. So I don't know how do you sterilize mercury, but just... Overall, it just seems like a silly, silly thing to put out to the public.
Yeah, he's retarded.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even need to talk about him anymore. I'm kind of over him.
I hear that. Chris Hero.
So what else is going on?
Huh?
So what else you got?
I said, Chris Hero, you responded, what else you got?
I like Chris, and I say that. I just don't like
how
he carries himself sometimes. Chris is, I said it on the shoot, Chris is, like, one of the best in the world. When I first saw him, he was working for Ian and, like, did SPW in, like, 02 and was, like, a big, like, chubby thing. Like, he got himself in awesome shape, works his ass off. I just don't like the way he carries himself sometimes.
I mean, he seems like one of them cats that does real good at math or something. I don't know, man. doesn't seem like my type of dude, but he can wrestle his ass off. I don't know, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll give him that. I just don't like the way he carries himself sometimes. No, personal. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people don't like the way I carry myself most of the time. It's fine. It's just an opinion. Not like a serial hero. Like,
I'm down with it. I'm completely down with it. I like the way you carry yourself. Devin, you're the only guy at wrestling whose gimmick is real. You know what I mean? You're not a scumbag.
And it's not even the fact that I'm a scumbag. I'll just say
I'm
shit.
See what I mean? Now we know why we had problems. I'm acting. That was a bit. It was not a true statement. Go ahead.
Here's where we get the lines twisted, and next thing you know, DJ, fucking Billy called me a scumbag on the radio. Definitely don't book him. Fuck.
I was completely teasing, man. It's acting.
I'm texting DJ as we're talking.
It's fucking crazy.
When are you going to have someone I can talk about? You're asking him about all these people that he's... Oh, these are all people still that he was, like, talking shit on? Is that...
Yes.
Oh, cool.
I have to ask about these things that he's done.
Well, I'm here to champion them all tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here to champion them all. I got this whole new character I'm doing, the half-breed serial killer. It's going to be me in a loincloth with a cape and a Rey Mysterio mask and a fucking sawed-off shotgun and a fucking machete. And I'm going to go around, like, killing people in indie wrestling. And then, like, there's going to be pictures of me like that, naked with this just piece of cloth and the Rey Mysterio mask on the news. I'm like, who is this fucking guy? Like, no one can figure it out.
You get banned from Facebook in a minute.
And then it's just the wrestling guys being murdered. You know what I mean? Like, because that way I can just run my
like
whole
that shit
own
that's
gimmick.
Been tagged in everybody's Facebook pictures.
I can be in only the Billy Graham business. You know what I mean? I can put only myself over. You know what I mean? And the world will be a much better place. You know? That's my dream.
Crazy.
I will. Someday when I grow up, that's what I'm going to be, man. That's it. I'm gonna fucking be a fucking serial killer, man.
Nice.
That's what I want.
People killing people. What do you know about Axl Rotten having the HIV?
A bunch of people called me Masada and warned us. So
really? Crazy. I don't doubt it. I'm just.
So. Masada had a concern, and like I could get a hold of the promoter dude easier for that show or whatever. So I said something, and I've heard this before too, and that goes back to me even working for Ian. I told Ian I was not believing with like Axl, no way, shape, or form, and he asked me a couple times to work like with him and Axl, and I was just like, nah.
Wow.
Like, there's just I'm good, and fucking you know the dude called him. The dude Kurt and was just like, here's the deal, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, we're going to test everyone before the thing or whatever. They sure know what's got it.
He's like, it's a birthday party that day.
Yeah, Axel's like, nah, I ain't doing it.
My niece's birthday is actually that day, and I was thinking about telling y'all that. That's crazy. I mean, if y'all think that show's fucking happening in Jersey, you're retarded. You haven't spent enough time in Jersey.
You.
I just got to tell you out because I live in Jersey and I was fucking attending CZW in 2001. That was right after the fucking Christy Whitman did that shit. Like,
yeah.
She was on some, like, hey, man, y'all can't be using fucking light tubes in the fucking building. And they're like, okay. They said it couldn't be done. 200 light tubes, first time in the U.S. outside the building with white beer and fucking Nick Gage. And the fucking governor's like, you motherfucker. Fuck light tubes in Jersey. You use that shit again, we'll fucking ban you. Oh, man. As a fan, you gotta look at that shit and go, God damn, you had to be a dick, right? Probably
yeah, right?
Pull shit off a little.
That's all right. It didn't last in PA either.
Nah, I know. And you already hate light tubes, right, Dev?
Yeah, fuck them, dude. Nick Gage and shit didn't teach you anything.
Nah, it taught me black shit. It took me well before Nick Gage. The fact that I seen people were going through light tubes said, I don't want to do that shit. I enjoy it, but I wouldn't do that shit. So I can't blame anybody else for not wanting to do that shit.
Yeah, I was like, I'm cool with that.
Nah, that's bottom line. Kobe Klein, I mean, fucking Pulp Fiction alumni, fucking one of the best deathmatch wrestlers in the fucking biz, hates fucking light tubes. which I, what the fuck am I going to blame you for? You know, I
yeah,
mean, you could do.
Yeah.
And again, to fans, if you made handguns fashionable, we'd love handguns.
Yeah.
We love what the fuck you give us. Like, oh man, that palm handgun shot last month was off the hook. You did that shit out of a stunner.
Well, I think some people would like it, and I think I
ran a stunner handgun
wouldn't.
Shot.
I think that's you know, I mean, I'm down with what CZW is doing right now. I mean, I think scaling back the amount of fucking, you know, mindless shit is a good idea, and focusing on characters and angles and athletics, you know.
Sure. I mean,
and a show
is
a better place than getting whacked with fucking mercury filled by tubes. I mean, you know, but they're fun too for people that like to roll around.
What is fun? The individuals.
I mean, listen, man.
For
people that like to roll around in that shit, that's good, clean, not hurting anybody. That isn't fucking a willing participant. Freedom of speech. Freedom of, you know, the Constitution. Like, if I want to be a dumbass and fucking risk my shit, I think I should be able to in a democratic society. This is, I'm sure, you know, there wouldn't be no fucking, like, Bin Laden fucking bowl of fucking mayhem, you know. Like, if he was running shit, it wouldn't be like, you know, it's the El Hajid's fucking, you know, what do you call it, Sultan of Death Matches, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't know. I don't think we have that. So, you know, and
yeah.
So yeah, I guess maybe sometimes I don't like always behave myself like a just a yes man and a mindless robot. But I don't really think I'm like Mr. Fucking out of control wants to be Elvis in Vegas, fucking Billy Graham. I don't think that a lot of the fans that watch the shows perceive my character that way. So, what's in the back?
I mean, my bottom line is Pulp Fiction is very, very over. And I think that it needs to exist in CZW. I said that earlier. I mean, it's kind of like a biased opinion for me to ask both of you, but I would like to do so either way. What are the two biggest factions or stables in CZW in the past 5 years?
That's easy, man. It's Blackout and Hate Club, man. That's it.
Well, Hate Club is two people, and it's not a faction. It's technically a tag team.
Too, man, and they got a long history with that brand name.
A tag team with a manager is still a tag team. I'm just saying, like, more than two wrestlers.
Okay, that would be the Miracle Ultra Violence Connection
anyway, I was more or less asking Dev, because I know you're going to be a smart ass and shit like that. Yeah,
I'm being honest, man. I thought Blackout, that's the greatest fucking stable. The label.
Oh, no, that's definitely one of my top two, definitely. Without question. Go ahead. Dev? Do we lose Dev again?
Devin.
Eric.
Yeah, he hung up.
Oh, he
hung up?
Yeah, I'll call him back. Hold on.
Yeah,
call
him back.
Tell
me
he's
taking his fucking
even
stable.
To...
Go ahead. So, Oh, do you guys all like my entrance theme tonight, man?
Yeah, that's crazy. You got your own shit, huh?
I love your entrance music. Then we need to, like, find a way to, every time you come on the show, to actually put it on the switchboard and play it. Hold on.
That's, yeah. So, really, Dev hung up? Like, I don't like that. I really don't want to see no shit where it's like, anybody catches feelings.
I thought we were okay. I didn't hear any things bad.
I didn't hear any discussions.
You know, I thought we were getting along just fine, you know?
Eric.
You know?
Yo,
check it out for 1 second.
What up? What the fuck is that?
And welcome back to the show, Devin Moore. Sure.
Oh my god, I can't get
the phone off. Yeah. So that was your making?
No. That's the new official. That song is going to be Billy Graham's own personal entrance involvement in music from now until
back.
I'm done.
Oh, Dev's back?
Cool. Ask him.
Dev.
What's up?
Oh, cool. You're back, man.
Well, ask him.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Eric.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Devin's there.
Okay.
Yeah, he's here. Ask him.
Why I gotta ask motherfuckers on my own show what the fuck is on? Motherfuckers is wrong. What's supposed to pop? Let's go.
He was supposed to name his two top stables or whatever.
Yeah.
Devin.
Man? Yeah, I'm fucked up, man. For real.
This guy
hung up and y'all hanging on the fucking promise that he actually came back. That's crazy, man. Devin's cool, people.
You know why? Right?
Why?
This is why. Ready?
I can't even hear that shit.
That's me, man.
I can't even hear that shit.
Leaving the fucking battle zone. No, the fucking battleground, the fucking, the plains of Armageddon have been once again tread, and I somehow I'm still talking shit to you, and Devin just ran away and didn't name who he thinks is the greatest stable. I was sensing you never gave your opinion on that. I thought you were leading somewhere.
Oh, my opinion on what?
On who the best three stables in CZW and how many years were or whatever.
Well, fuck, man. I want Devin on. What the fuck is going on here? This is some old bullshit, man.
Devin's still on the line.
Why is he talking?
Dev! See, y'all trying to play me.
Couldn't
out.
You out of the song because it's saying that he's still on the line with me.
Can you call him the fuck back or some shit
no,
like
no,
that?
No, he's on the line. I can't call him back because he's on, he's on the phone with me. He's on the phone right now.
Maybe hit the mute button or something.
Maybe he hit the mute button because I didn't hit the mute button. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I met him on his phone. Maybe he pumped his chin into it.
Man. You know what? Cats is funny for as long as they're on this fucking phone, and then they ain't funny no more. Eric,
Devin!
Seriously.
Where the... Devin, are you there?
Whatever, dude. Like I said, I want to ask Devin that question just because, like, honestly, CZW hasn't had factions in the company. They had, they had High Five. You know, I'll take High Five as a possibility of one of those stables. But what they have supported as either Blackout or Hate or Cult Fiction. Like he put Hate Club in my mind. Leader of Cult Fiction put Hate Club in my mind. So what can I do? But the fact is, it's a tag team. It's not a faction. I would definitely say Blackout and Cult Fiction are the two top stables ever in CZW. Because they really didn't run that many stables. And if they did, it was for a short amount of time and didn't have that much following. It had interest within the feud, but it definitely didn't have, any type of other... following
right.
is like a huge mass.
So,
that's just
right.
me. I don't know.
Yeah, well, me voting for Cult Fiction is kind of retarded for me, you know what I mean? Just because, like...
Yeah,
because
you're in business for yourself.
Yeah, that's why I can't boast about my, No, hey, listen, I'm fucking proud of every person I ever worked with that's a wrestler as part of Cult Fiction. I mean, there's not, there's nobody that I that I'm not happy about the association or the friendship with, or that they got to, you know, be a part of it. You know what I mean? I've got a 1,000th percentile on as far as any bros who have flown the colors. And I mean, for the most part, I mean, I've just really enjoyed working all the people that we've worked with. You know, I mean, I have very few people that I don't like that I haven't worked with. And I know that there's other people that would refute even how it is to work with me the way that was put out earlier, you know, like I'm pretty much game for whatever, but hey, if I think something's fucking stupid, you know what I mean, I'm going to speak up. Like, I didn't just start doing that from day one.
Eric, did you get Devin on yet?
I think Devin fell asleep because I called him back and it kept ringing and went to voicemail and he's not picking up.
That's wild. That's crazy. Wow.
He's out.
But yeah.
But that's cool that you feel that way. I mean, yeah, you know what? That's what's fucked up. Like back in, you know, and if you went back to me in 2007 and 2008, man, like in my head, my dream thing of what I wanted to do more than anything, if I ever got a chance to do it in CZW, was have an angle where Blackout Cuba was called fiction. Like that's what.
That would be
really
awesome.
Good.
That's what I always wanted to do, and everybody involved knows, because you know how I run around and tell everyone in the company, wow, I want it only to do what is the right way. The Billy Graham's the only way. What is the right way? The Billy Graham for me. And yeah, that's me. That's all I do. You know, but.
Who would be your opponents, or who would be your team for that, considering what actually goes on right now?
Oh, well, fuck. It could have been any. I mean, you could pull up any member of the.
If it came up for next month that they want Cold Fiction vs. Blackout Roundup, which you can, what would the team be?
I think it would make sense to have it be. Have 13 and Masada, you know what I mean? And then have, like, a mystery guy coming back, and then that could be up to, like, because, I mean, I would weigh, there's a certain person I worked with not long ago this year, the only show I worked this year, and haven't worked with him before, but I would like to work again. But, of course, I would always like to see Toby do something. Like, I would see it being a way of, like, you know, them being able to hot shot, like, you know, like some of their past associates into the situation, too, so that, you know, you never would know what you were going to see. You know, like, you know, you'd have these three core guys on each side, and then, you know, every month, oh, which guy from Blackout's past or which guy from Cold Fiction's past is going to step up and, you know, take the next fight and, you know, meet me against the greatest, you know, my stupid fucking whore attention ass against the fucking greatest manager in the business, Robbie Moreno. Like, I think would be, you know, like, I just think of, like, we could do any kind of battle from fucking verbal to fucking, you know, he's beat me up before and everybody else has, so I might as well, you know, you get what I'm saying? But I just, to work with Ruckus, you know what I mean, would be just a big deal to me. To work with Robbie would be a big deal to me, and anybody ever in Blackout, you know what I mean? Like, I would love to be a part of that, and I would just love to see all different kinds of combinations, you know what I mean? But I think I'd probably try to maybe start it out as you know, maybe giving Toby a shot in there, because I think a lot of people want to fucking see Toby right now. And then
it
scales up, you know, bring guys in, you know, and you know, this month the surprise could be, you know, they've got Ricky Reyes and we've got Deranged, you know, and then the next month they've got, you know, Kingston, and we've got, you know, somebody, you know what I'm saying?
That would be an attendance, like, that would be something to get the attendance, you know, way up, you know what I mean?
I think that would put asses in the seats, but, you know, then you have this infirm belief that is somehow just because, look, everybody knows, everybody in Cult Fiction, if they didn't do it already going into it, 13, then by the time they were getting into it, you know, they all have done, of course, the highest level of brutal fucking ultra-violence, you know what I mean? But then it's supposed to be like an ultra-violent horseman meets the Brady Bunch, meets the Manson family, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, but being pegged that all those guys can't work like non-ultraviolet matches and can't wrestle and can't, you know, do things to put on a show, perform, be characters, have charisma, and put over storylines and get have decent matches out of them. There's no such person that's ever been associated with Cult Fiction, you know what I mean? So the company pegging that the only thing the gimmick's good for is fucking beefing up TOD, like, or, you know, whatever. I mean, granted, that last year, that's awesome, man. I mean, it's cool, but, you know, we all know that one mechanism put that feud in place last year, you know what I mean? And you know, not to call people mechanisms, but I'm not going to be a name dropper here. It's stupid to me. But, like, what I'm saying is there was a way that plan for Cult Fiction, the feud with the Suicide Kings, got put into motion. And I think it was handled right up to a certain point. And then when who was guiding that ship to make that see it through to its last 6 months of it, decisions were made that changed it. That to me, when people want to talk about what I know, what I'm doing, I mean, excuse me, because I think that when you have the heels lose 5 months in a row, you know, to the faces who are supposed to be the ones getting bullied till the evil assholes get their ass kicked and I get the break bones, you know, at the end of the whole thing, you know, no, we should have still been dominating them. And so when people are talking about knowing what they're doing with the booking and how to keep people interested in the show, I mean, you know, Cult Fiction's out there, you know, killing, doing a riot, beating up half the locker room, and the security and the fans are going ape shit into, like, very reminiscent of ECW, kind of early CZW kind of excitement that nobody was expecting. Ah, it would be something that beefed up at the end of it, you know what I mean? And people have issues with that, you know, and it's like, look, man, like, we're supposed to, like, nobody has ever uncut loose the idea in the way of understanding the thing. You know what they've always done with Cult Fiction? Cut the balls off of us, okay? It's always so refrained and so restricted, and everybody's so worried. It's like, how does it become, you know what, if you're a fucking wrestler, and you're wrestling with one of the guys that's the caliber of performer that's any wrestler that's been in Cult Fiction, right? And you're worried that Billy Graham is fucking showboating you? Maybe you're in the wrong business, motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, since when is this a place where, you know, you're supposed to be like the showstopper, right? Everybody. You get what I mean? And it's like, you haven't seen me run in there, like I said, steal any title belts from anybody. And I don't think there's been a plethora of matches where Billy Graham was the muscle man and came in and you know, stole the win for his team time after time. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I haven't had them shoot bullets and tank shells off my chest in the middle of the ring, because we all know I do that shit. And, you know, I wrestle alligators, you know what I mean? Like, anything like that. And they wouldn't let me bring a rattlesnake to fucking TOD, you know what I mean? I set that all up. Had a great gimmick with that, man. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, when I say cutting the balls off, it's like, you know, this is fucking 2011 now, and the building that had ECW do what it did, and then what CZW did when it was at its peak, as far as I'm concerned, when they were packing the fucking building, you know, the CZW originals, as far as I'm concerned, was the shit, you know? And that's always something that's been in my mind and the people that I work with, you know, that we're trying to be part of that legacy and carry that kind of attitude on. So, you know, it's a real insult to be tagged not a team player to me, because I think that there's a lot of people, not a majority, that maybe not, might, like I said, might not be in the position right now, might not be as loud, but they're not perceiving me to be. I know for a fact that John Zandig perceived me as a team player that had a passion for the company, and compassion for all the guys I was working with, and really believed in them, because that comes straight from him to me. So, you know what I mean? It's weird, man. John could talk to me. You know, John didn't fucking throw me out anywhere. He kept me around. He thought I had talent. I'm grateful to him and to Mike Burns. You know, these are the people and the guys that, of course, the guys that have, you know, let me be in their corner. You know, or worked with me. You know what I mean? And the fans. You know what I mean? That made it something. Well, that if we weren't entertaining the fans, very obviously we wouldn't be there. You know what I mean? And so to just neuter that I did anything to contribute. Absolutely. And
all right, we have Devin back on.
Yay.
I keep getting disconnected. It's driving me nuts.
You thought you fell asleep.
Jesus Christ.
You.
Thank you for coming back to the show, Dev.
like, fuck, dude.
Go ahead, man. I want to hear your voice for a while. Holler.
No, man. I just kept getting disconnected. Like, I don't know. Jesus Christ, we've been doing this for, what, 2 hours already?
Yeah.
You shut up late. You ain't even cutting.
I know, you're good. I don't even know what I just missed.
I have no idea, dude. I mean, just trying to fill time, that's all.
Yep.
Another guy you had mentioned and shit, and I seen the spot, you know, firsthand, and we just went, oh, shit, when it was happening. Spiral.
Oh, man, I wrestled him a month or so ago. And, oh, no, he didn't seem too happy.
Because he heard his shit?
No, not even that. Like, that wasn't happening again, I'll put it that way. And he didn't like what I had to say and how stuff was put together. But, like, I don't know. I was there when the thing happened at Seidel, and, like, Seidel said no, 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 and he just went with it and totally killed the kid. Like, what did that kid want to do?
Was crazy. I seen the shit live, and I was like, fuck.
Are we talking about the infamous bump off the top of the fucking aerial assault thing? Is this what we're talking about? That shit is the fucking sickest shit. Like, I mean, I cut that music video to promote Best of the Best for that, and, you know, I used that.
That kid bad.
No, but I mean, like literally... I was like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, this is now legit, let's kill someone, you know, like with intent.
Yeah.
I was like, that was the fucking craziest fucking shit I ever saw. So if I'm a mark and I'm getting sold something, great, man. But, you know, to me, it just looked like, I mean, granted, physically, it was a thing that was a beauty of a horrible thing to behold, you know what I mean? But, like, So is chopping someone's guts out with a fucking samurai sword if you film it right, like Ninja Assassin or something, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, like watching that shit in slow-mo is like the fucking, it's like the Riefenstahl fucking, you know, Hitler Olympics music playing in the background and the bombs dropping on fucking London's whistling in the background and the guy's head cracking into the, you know, like.
That's a lot of hype, man, for that bullshit.
You know, like, it's horrible. It's all the humanity. Like, what
that's
fuck,
a lot of
man?
Hype for
you
that
know,
bullshit.
That to me was some scary fucking shit, man. I don't, like, you know, it didn't.
I think
like,
that.
Whoa.
I think it was retarded. And, like, I don't know.
I regretted
not kicking him in his head after it happened.
What
is
it
there
even
a guy
called?
In
the... Does it have a name for that fucking thing? The Ferris
it's more or less
Doom
like a
or...
flipping Styles Clash.
A flipping Ferris wheel of the
heavens. It's called Unsafe.
Yeah, Moonstone Styles Clash. That's not a good idea.
AKA Unsafe.
Is there
yeah,
anybody...
It's a Watanabe pinwheel.
Yeah. Is there anybody in the business, Devin, that you would trust doing that move?
No.
Really? Richie Swan came to you and said, hey, man, I can pull this. You would
tell
him?
I'd straight up tell Richie Swan I love him to death, he can go fuck himself. I wouldn't let Trent do that to me, and I'd let Trent do some retarded shit.
Yeah, Trent couldn't pull a fucking moonsault straight. I'd love to do the fucking death.
No,
just, that's
no, wait,
my
wait,
guy,
wait,
but...
record. Could do a full... Trent could do a moonsault straight.
He's still on camera, good.
All the time.
Shit.
And I told him, I was like, you cannot do a moonsault straight on the fucking show because he started doing them straight. And I was like, you can't. Like, your moonsault, the side, like, now he's buying the ring,
he can't. Yeah. I love the shit out of Trent, but, dude, like, me and the girl, we would see him live, and we would just be like, or somebody else would pull a fucking, we'd be like, oh, he pulled a tramp on salt and shit. Because this shit was crooked as fuck, man. He did so many things fucking perfect. He was just like the perfect personality, fucking work ethic, fucking intensity. He
Who made that moonsault his? It was like Terry Funk, man. Terry Funk did it straight over.
You know when he pulled that moonsault, it had a fucking tilt. It was just like,
yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it's just part of what he
good.
Do, you know?
He was good at everything. That's what you can say about Trent.
If he would come,
I wouldn't let him do it. So like, and I know Swanee could probably do it, but nah, because there's no way safe way for you to land. Like, you're hitting the mat face first as hard as you can. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, that's it, man. That looked like a sure way to a broken neck.
And this is coming from the idiot that took a Canadian destroyer through a painted glass off the top roof.
Fucking, yo, the way Rick Blade used to land aerials was fucking the most dangerous shit ever. I mean,
I was
a huge Rick Blade fan, and that motherfucker almost died so many times in front of me.
Yep.
He broke his leg like a bunch of times, didn't he?
I was fucking there when he broke it in fucking three spots in Sewell, dropping a leg on fucking, I think, Gage. It was a four-way on... It was Gage, Payne, Lobo, and, Gage, Payne, Lobo, and who's the fourth? First. Jesus Christ.
Hatred?
No. Fourth is the first four entrants in CZW.
Gage, Lobo,
Payne.
And Blade, right?
Yeah, Blade. Who was coming off the wall. But he came off the wall, and there was two tables stacked, and he shot that senton and landed on his feet from, like, over 10 feet. Like, two tables stacked, fucking shattered, just screaming his fucking head off. That was, like, the first pay-per-view and shit. It was crazy. Just, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm knocking on wood again. Thank God I didn't have to snap my leg off.
Shit. It is a bad fucking move, dude. You ever hit a fucking, like, a spot like that where you were just like, never again?
No, I've taken easy spots where I've been like, oh my God, I can't believe this hurt that bad. No,
you've done shooting stars off of fucking school buses, through glass panes, fucking off of scaffolds, off of...
I think the one off the scaffold's probably a one-and-done deal. I don't think you'll see another one off a scaffold. Maybe Japan.
No.
I don't know.
Japan.
Like, I don't know if I could do it again. In the school bus, I don't know how I survived the one on tank in wherever the fuck we were, Indiana. When I did it off that school bus, man, that fucking I hit the asphalt. And I don't know how I like walked away.
Fuck, that's brutal shit, man. When I seen them setting up the table or chairs and then the painted glass over Drake, I was like, this motherfucker's shooting star. Before you even came near the top rope, I was like, he's gonna fucking shooting star off the fucking top rope to that glass. I was like, this motherfucker's crazy. And I already knew that and shit, but I had to like let people around me know just in case y'all niggas didn't know. This shit is about to get down. I was like, oh,
that's
fuck, he's gonna shooting star through that glass.
Move.
And Drake even moved.
No, man. That hurt.
Shit. Other person on the Ian thing was Bull Payne. What's your view on everything that went down with Bull and Ian and your view on Bull?
I think Bull's Bull. I just think he's crying too much over money that, like, you know what I mean? He's another one that strictly knows Ian's deal, like Ian's Ian.
I can kind of feel that too, but continues to work him even though he knows what he's getting into, is what you're saying. Deb?
Ooh, he's cut off.
Who's
again.
That?
He's knocking. That's Billy, man. What do you mean, who is it?
I've
just been sitting here listening to you guys talk, man.
All right.
Yeah, once again.
Oh, get him back, man. We only have, like, 15 minutes left. Jesus, God.
I think Devin is, it's his phone.
Devin's phone is a bitch.
The Newton's. Something Minutin. Oh man, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's up, Billy? What's up, Billy?
Not much, man. I'm just sitting here. At least I don't hang up on you. You know, I stay on the phone.
No, yeah. I gotta get it.
And Jay, I didn't fall asleep tonight either.
Thank Christ.
That's really pretty cool. Yeah, it'd just be just you and me here, man. Like.
Hey, what about me?
Well, I actually have options of better. Yeah, how's it going?
No, I said you would fall asleep too.
Me?
No.
No, I got.
Eric would fall
I got homies. We're all good. Billy doesn't ever sleep. I don't know if you knew that about him.
Billy, this is
like
what I love about Billy. This is what I love about Billy, and I'm being honest. When I have work at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I check my phone, and I see all these videos. Post on YouTube, and I'm like, Billy never sleeps.
Oh, yeah. I get on my kids sometimes, man. I mean, that's just
yeah, if you look up what Chuck Norris normally does, that's Billy on the off days, you know? There's a lot of theories on Chuck Norris, but that's Billy on his day off.
Oh, that's why I'm making it easy, Chuck Norris?
I don't know.
Chuck
Dude,
Norris to me. I am Chuck Norris.
On your day off. Yeah. What is that? What the fuck is that? That's Billy playing bullshit fucking politics on the mouth.
Well, again, me and my demanding to be
politics
you know,
on my
I,
show
I, think, I could tell you, look, so you won't let me fill in time. I could say something like, as far as, you know what, there's like a lot of people I can't say anything about that were said about because it's not my place to say it or whatever, don't have the issues, whatever. But I would say this as far as like Benny goes, man, like, I think that maybe it's once again what I was alluding to earlier about age and shit like that, man. Like where, well, you know what? Maybe like he's objecting to what's going on or has a better idea. Maybe sometimes because he's got more experience and has been there through the dance longer and is older than a lot. B-boy, you know what I mean? In other words, like is someone trying to take him like he's like this prima donna or something? Like I don't see it.
Yo,
I don't agree with it and. I think
Eric,
he's a
get,
huge asset wherever
Devin
he's at.
Back he, on too.
No, he's just the kind of guy that would be like, you know, trying to encourage everybody and have good will with everybody. You know, he always.
Boy,
he
I
always,
mean, seems like a good guy.
He always pumped me up. He always paid attention to me. It seemed like what everybody in the company was doing and trying to really help and being one of those senior members around there and trying to like help people and not be the. I saw him as another person who tried to help everybody. You know, so if there's a disagreement over a match, how does that make this is what the guy was about? You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying, because I don't see it at all, man. I love the man, and I saw him encourage everybody, including myself. You know, and I haven't seen anybody that hasn't ever had any issue with the way they perceive of how they're being booked some night. Like, acting like everybody else just says, yes, boss, and doesn't question it and doesn't go over and put their own idea in and try to, like, I'm the only guy that ever did that. You know, like, no, a lot of times it's other people's ideas and stuff, you know what I mean?
Eric.
There's a lot of things like...
Hold on, Billy. Eric.
It's only you and me now again.
Oh.
It's only the two of us, man.
I'm hoping to get Devin back, man. I would really like to close the show out with two of you. I got only, like, 10 minutes left in this fucking show. We went for, like, almost 3 hours now,
yeah.
Which is phenomenal.
Devin, it's going right to voicemail, Jay.
That's
he's
going
out,
right
man.
To voicemail. Huh?
He's obviously out again, man. Like, shit.
Ah, but...
Well,
shit, man.
See, at least I'm not...
But it's
see,
the
I
fucking show.
I,
either
I
way.
I didn't quit before the bell rang.
Billy never does. But either way you look at it, go to smartmarkvideo.com. This whole show stemmed from the fact that Devin has had a phenomenal motherfucking video come out where he talked a lot of stuff about a lot of people, and some of those things have been dispelled on our show tonight. However, I did want to close the show with Devin, but Devin's phone is a bitch and goes straight to voicemail and things of that nature. But he covered a lot of topics, and honestly, Devin's a good dude. And if you talk to him and stuff,
too.
Huh?
So we want to thank Billy too. You know what I mean?
Oh, nah. I just
Joe
got
Bailey.
That. Oh, nah. Just,
thank you.
Settle down.
It's all good. Thank you guys. Settle down. He tells him.
So I got. Yeah, I mean, like it's got a lot of good matches on there, and check that DVD out. And of course, I mean, our guest tonight, man, we had the father of the legendary, best ever hybrid wrestler. To fucking grace the ring, JC Bailey's father, Joe Bailey. Thank you, Joe Bailey, for coming out again tonight
absolutely.
On our show. I mean, that's a phenomenal, I mean, that's an honor for me. You know, you come on and speak your mind, that's good. I hope it doesn't stretch you out too much. I know this is not a good move for you, but thank you, man, for coming on. And, of course, Billy Graham, man. I mean, Billy has always been straight up, no bullshit. And a lot of people have a problem with the lack of lies. A lot of people have a problem when people tell the truth because people are scared of the truth. People don't want to hear that shit. You know, when someone tells you some shit straight up, you're like, well, that guy's a little too forward. Bring me some yes men. Bring me somebody who could just tell me what I want to hear. But a lot of the times, and I feel the same way because I live that way, and I'm not the most popular person where I go because I fucking tell people, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's just, yeah, that gear is fucked up. And be like, oh, that, well, why you gotta tell me all that? I just, well, the fact of the matter is it is. And I'll tell you, hey, man, that's just looking good, you know, but you don't have to tell that to somebody no matter how you feel. You have to actually have an opinion. So when someone does that within a wrestling company or within a job, wherever they may work, that doesn't make them a person you shouldn't employ. That makes you someone you can actually value their opinion because they have one. There's too many people in the business that just have a, well, this is how it goes, because that's how the job goes. Or they can say, hey, man, I love this job, but I wish they wouldn't do that. Maybe they'll change that, and it'll be that better of a company. But people don't always look like that. So that's my whole opinion. It's just that. You got to look at people who actually have, you know, an opinion, a truthful opinion. Whether you like the pluses and the minuses, the fact that there are both is something to be fucking valued.
Yeah. One would think, but
yeah.
Maybe not, man.
It's
maybe
not,
not
as easy
maybe
to
that's
handle.
A little bit, that's maybe that's flying a little bit too much.
The road easier traveled is everyone agreeing with you.
Yep. That's for sure.
What do you think, Eric? We only got a couple minutes.
What do you mean?
Eric?
Yeah, what do you mean?
What I mean is this Yakuza Kick Radio. When I
the
speak your motherfucking
premier
mind.
Radio show. No, the premier radio show here on Blog Talk Radio.
Is that what it is? I didn't have
the
I didn't get the memo.
The premier radio show. We got Billy fucking Graham on, you know, with us too.
That's the main fucking point.
Yeah, that was. I thought that's what he was trying to say. You know, I get it. Thank you, Jay. I mean, you know, hey, yeah. What are you gonna do, man? You know, what are you gonna do?
Absolutely. We only have so many minutes left with what I would call one of the best front mans in the motherfucking business, Billy Graham. I can't take this fucking dead air. Anymore, and I would
okay.
like before the dead air fucking ends is to get a promo off the fucking one of the best front mans in the fucking business right now. Because why not?
Are you going to count me into this? I'm just supposed to blurt it.
You need to count this, right? You're a fucking professional.
Yep,
3, 2, 1, go.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. This is Half-Breed motherfucking Billy Graham, cult fishing to the death, motherfuckers.
Good, what kind of Howdy Graham shit is that?
Okay,
howdy.
I'd like to thank you for coming to IWA Beat Shit's annual carnage crap, and you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio here on KKK 100.
Now I got a promo from Kevin. That's awesome. Who else can you give me?
Kevin DeBro passed away, man. The singer from Quiet Riot. It's sad. He's not on the phone. Oh, Pondo's on the phone. Cool. Put him on. Yeah. Okay, want another one? No, wait, where do you get an invitation? America, this is Jimmy Carter, and you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Who's that?
My name is
Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
And you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, and I would like to say that I am not an antenna.
Now, I would like to get a fucking promo off of Dev. Instead, I'll go.
It's just like people should just, you know, give up on like, let it go. Listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, cuz. Don't just, like, you know, walk around. Like, I mean, guy's got to sell his tacos, man. Like, so just listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, man. And, like, you know, just fucking, you know,
don't
be fucking demanding to smoke weed on the way to Alabama, man. I'm sorry.
That's fucked up.
No, it wasn't. I'm joking. What the fuck are you? I mean, you know what?
I take that completely seriously. It should require a shoot immediately.
No, that was not a shoot. That was me trying
You'll
to.
You'll never
to,
work
you
in
know,
this fucking radio show again.
That was me trying to get his payday still for him. You know what I mean? Like, and
okay.
I turned the money right over. Unlike some other people, you know. You know what I mean? Like, that's
whoa.
I didn't say anybody. I just said there's got to be somebody in this world, right, that doesn't, like, you know what I mean? That, like, kind of does the old...
Crazy, man.
What do you
call anyway, Billy,
really,
we only got several minutes before we go completely off the fucking line. So thank you again for coming on, Billy. You're always a fucking great guest. And going to have to say goodnight to you. And you can holler at me a minute on my line. And that's the word.
Good night, Billy.
Good night,
guten
Billy.
Guten Abend, meine Freunde.
Holler at me. Eric.
Yo.
So that's the show. What a show, and I told motherfuckers it was going to be a show. Was it not, Eric?
3 hours. We gotta wrap this up before it kicks us off.
Yeah. You know goddamn right. So anyway,
this is
Yakuza Kick Radio, what?
Hit me up after the show.
You know this is Yakuza Kick Radio. Check us
Yakuza
out.
Kick
Thursday.
Radio.
We are on Thursdays. This is a special night. But anyway, check us out next Thursday, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com/YKR Online. Check us the fuck out, motherfucker. For Eric Williams, I am J. Cat Morris. Peace.